Drop the puck, nerdy ducks. It's time to skate into a brand new episode of Inside the Locker right here on oneofus.net. This is the geek sportscast that gives Dr. Joctopus a run for his money. I'm your host, Brian Salisbury, forever barred from the Indiana Elementary Kickball Hall of Fame, and I am joined by a dream team of all-star fanboys tonight, starting with JC Theodore DeLeon.
What's up? My middle name's not Theodore.
And Elliot Skip Fontanette.
I thought my middle name was Alvin.
And Adam, our neighbor, Adam Charles.
Beer.
Oh, I see what you're doing now.
Yeah, see.
Before we move on, how do you get a lifetime ban from the kickball league in Indiana Elementary?
There was some question as to whether or not I recruited people for dodgeball and pulled them away from kickball and also violated the labor agreement.
Okay, so I was thinking maybe you, like, you know, put some surge into your chocolate milk, you know,
right.
Juicing.
Yeah, no, it was performance enhancing. Of course, when you're 8, any sugary substance is performance enhancing, so.
This is true.
There you have it. Well, before we get started, I do want to remind you all that we are available on iTunes. Just go to iTunes and search for One of Us in the podcast section. You can also follow the show at ITLcast on Twitter. And we are brought to you tonight, as we always are, by Blogman's Beard Wax. Blogmans, show everyone that your waistline isn't the most interesting thing about you. So let's take a long walk with a short stop into the beer bucket. What are we drinking, guys? Elliot, what do you got there?
I have a Stella Artois.
Stella Artois, a fine product from the nation of Belgium, which brought us waffles and Jean-Claude Van Damme. So
no complaints there.
So you get a face full and a face. He wasn't in Face Off.
Well, you get a face.
Elliot, that's a terrible joke. Why would you even do that?
No, but you get a face fall, and then you also get some waffles.
Right, exactly. So I'm gonna knock off the JCVD jokes and move on to JC. What are you drinking, sir?
A Landshark Lager.
Landsharks. When sea sharks aren't scary enough.
Yeah. It's from the Margaritaville Brewing Company, which is in St. Louis, Missouri.
It's like a sci-fi.
So it's like Jimmy Buffett's actual beer.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah.
No, you're right. You're right, Elliot. It does sound like a sci-fi channel movie. Coming like, next fall, Land Shark. He's drunk, but he's still a shark on land.
But written by Jimmy Buffett, which would be a great movie.
You got fins to the left, fins to the right, and you're the only bait in town.
See, I'm thinking it's like, you know, if Margaritaville got invaded by zombies. So, I mean, you'd just be hitting people over the head with bottles of whiskey. I mean, that sort of sounds like Club Dread, though.
It sounds a little bit like Club Dread. It doesn't sound dislike Club Dread, so we got that going on. Adam, what are you drinking over there?
I'm drinking an Alaskan White from Alaska.
Racist.
Which gave us Sarah Palin. And White, which also gave us Sarah Palin.
Hopefully the beer makes up for Sarah Palin.
We desperately hope so. And I am drinking, hold on just a moment. I am drinking the national beer of Texas, Lone Star, from the Pabst Brewing Company. And I'm going to take a swig of this live on the air, because I'm not exactly sure how long it's been in my fridge. So here goes.
You took your pants off again.
Yeah, that is not up to Lone Star standards, and that's saying something.
It's not so much Lone Star as like Oklahoma.
Yeah. It's more the national beer of Oklahoma. But I will continue to drink it, because I did open it, and them's the rules, I don't make them. But it's segment one, so you guys know what that means. It's time for scores and stories. So we're going to go run down the list of our headlines, and the first headline is entitled...
Pro-choice.
Pro-choice. Now, we're not going to get into a political discussion here.
But why not?
Because that's another show we don't yet have.
Actually, we do have one.
Yeah, we just launched a blog that is going to cover world news and politics that's called Geek Inherits the Earth, written by Seth Hall. And it's excellent, and you should all check out the first entry.
Is it like a logical progression from Boy Meets World? So is it Corey?
So Boy Meets World and then becomes Geek. And then Geek inherits Earth. It's like that conversation in Jurassic Park.
Geek dies. Topanga inherits the Earth.
Topanga can inherit whatever the hell she wants, including my penis. but as we were saying, this headline is referring to the massive changes that have come down for the 2014 Pro Bowl. Now... First of all, the major change is that there will be no more AFC-NFC. It won't be the best of the AFC and the best of the NFC anymore, which is pretty much the reason the Pro Bowl exists. Instead, the two players with the most fan votes will become team captains, and they will be selecting the rest of their lineup from the entirety of the NFL with the help, sounds like This sounds like garbage babble at this point, but with the help of Jerry Rice, Deion Sanders, and whoever is NFL.com's fantasy football champ.
I for one, welcome.
It's true. That's entirely what's happening.
I, for one, welcome Tim Tebow as the head of one of the teams.
See, that's a great possibility here, is like the gag voting might actually put somebody like Tim Tebow, the captain of one of the teams.
Well, it can, because it's all fan voting. So, and there's, you can't really argue that there's not much more of a bigger fan base than Tim Tebow.
That's true.
Tim Tebow could be the very first Pro Bowler to have never played a snap.
I mean, how many votes does Jesus get?
Weirdly enough, Johnny Manziel is the captain of both teams. And, oh wait, no, he's captain of one. Donald Duck is the captain. Guys, come on, if you're not going to take this seriously, why are we even playing the Pro Bowl?
He's a great player, but he just spends his entire time fussing at the refs.
That's true, and he doesn't wear pants, which tends to put people at odds on the football field.
JC, if Colin Kaepernick didn't wear pants,
then he would get Donald fucked by JC. So, yeah, guys, how do we feel about, I mean, there's a lot more changes we're going to go over in just a second, but let's talk about this big, major change for a second. Does this make fan voting more important or less important?
I actually don't. I'm excited for the change only because the NHL does it. And I'm hoping that because of this, the NBA will follow suit and do it. And I'm more excited about the possibility of the NBA doing this than the Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl, I think, will still be inconsequential and probably pretty boring. But
yeah,
I don't think it necessarily makes the fan voting inconsequential, because it's not just the two highest vote getters that get to pick. I believe it's still based on fan votes who actually gets in the pool of players to be picked.
Oh, if it's that way, then that's because that's kind of the idea that I wish the NBA would do. I think fans can still vote for whatever 10 most popular players, and the top two vote getters are then picking the captains from teams that are built by the fans and selected by the coaches. Way, but that's NBA,
right? So I think as far as the pool of players, the way in which you get to be picked to go to the Pro Bowl is still the same. But the only thing that's really changed is you're not necessarily designated to play on your conference's team. You can get picked by the other team if you want, if they so choose.
Oh yeah.
So,
well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. The official press release, and I just mean it's on ESPN, and take that with a grain of salt. But I mean, the only thing they've said is that conference affiliation will no longer be considered in determining all-star selections. The two leading vote getters will be named captains and will be assisted by Hall of Famers Jerry Rice and Deion Sanders, and two NFL.com fantasy football champions in picking the two teams. It doesn't actually say one way or the other if it is. I mean, the way it sounds is, like, literally, it's going to be like kickball. Like, it's like, all right, give me Smalls. All right, give me Porter. All right, give me, you know,
Guinness.
Give me a lot of Guinness. But it's weird. It kind of, for me, feels like going back to sort of a schoolyard mentality. And it's like, it's one thing if you're voting for somebody who has, like, the sixth highest votes, because they needed, what, 22 players still for the Pro Bowl? So it's like, my guy's got a good chance. But it's like, if your guy's in sixth now, does he have a shot unless he's known by or buddies with whoever the team captains are? I mean, aren't we opening this up to a little bit more exclusion?
Well, yeah, but, you know, this is just the first proposal. What they could do is they could say, hey, we have a pool of players that we will allow the fans to vote for. And then out of that, some people may get left out, but at least there's some kind of recognition. And then I love the idea of, you know, seeing, you know, who we're going to pick. Who do I really think is the best? Because when it comes down to it, if we can count on the players to not be biased and, you know, that's just my boy, so I'm going to vote, I want him on my team, mm-hmm. you will actually see what the players think of each other.
Right.
If it's like, you know, I'm a receiver, but man, I know that Champ Bailey, mm-hmm. I know he's a lockdown corner. This is like 5 years ago. I'm going to get him anyway, even though I hate him because he always just jams me up.
Is a lockdown corner, is that something you need in conjunction with a safe word, or like how do those work?
Well, it's what DMX uses when he stops, drops, and opens up shop.
Okay.
He can't do it by himself.
Okay. But here's the thing, though, Elliot, is the measures that you're talking about, I agree, would help the situation, but they're not being discussed as possibilities.
Well, not yet.
Well, and keep in mind also that this works a lot like fantasy football draft does. Like, it's round by round. So you pick. So I mean, you pick your player. And there is a little bit of strategy that goes into who it is you're going to pick. I mean, you can go quarterback first if you want, go running back first. It's not based on like a fantasy football point system, but I mean, you can run the risk of trying to pick one player who may be your boy, maybe somebody you want on your team, but at the risk of actually losing somebody who you may actually really want on your team, because he's the better player.
Yeah, and I think you make a great point. This could actually make this game matter, not in terms of, like, I like the way the MLB does it, to where the conference, you know, that gets the home field advantage
for the World Series. Yeah,
but this could make it, you know, if you're a professional athlete, you're by definition competitive.
Is it the World Series or the League Champion, the AL or the NL?
It's the World Series.
It would have to be the World Series.
Yes, it is. Yeah,
idiot.
yeah. As far as
I'm not even going to edit that out. I'm just going to leave that stupid ass question right the hell in there.
As far as the idea of it being exclusionary to that, I say they're professionals. If they want to cry about it, they can cry about it.
No. I'm not talking about that necessarily. What I am talking about is, as you said, this is a completely inconsequential game. So for the fans, the exclusion comes from, if my guy who I really want to see, like if I'm one of the 8 people who still really gives a shit about the Pro Bowl, like looks forward to it all year long, my guy runs a greater chance of not getting in if he's not good friends with whoever the captain is, as I understand the new system to work. Yeah. I mean, am I wrong about that?
I'd say tough.
No,
tough for the players, fine. It doesn't, like, I don't give a shit whether they get an extra trip to Hawaii and more money. But that's already tough nuggets for the fans, because the game doesn't mean anything.
But this will actually make it better and make it mean something. You know?
How is it going to make it mean anything?
It's just going to make the prep mean something. Yeah. Like the picking is going to be the event. The game is going to be inconsequential. The game won't matter. But it's still not going to matter.
If nobody cares about the Oscars, who gives a shit about the nominee ceremony? Let's make that more elaborate. It's like, but nobody still watches the show.
But my point is that when you make it to where it's not just based on conference, you actually have to pick your teams. I feel like that would give the players at least a little something to play for, and it wouldn't be about, okay, we got to get everybody playing time. It's like, no, we want to win this game. And if I'm the NFL, I'm going to put a cash value on that prize. I'm going to say, hey.
You mean a bounty? Because they got in trouble for that before.
Not a bounty. This is not Cowboy Bebop.
Okay.
Anime.
All right, Han.
But
you know, that's non-anime for people who don't watch anime. I made a Star Wars reference like a normal human. But
well, you know, Cowboy,
your way was good too.
Well, Cowboy Bebop is very influenced by Star Wars.
Seriously. 3, 2, 1, go on.
But I forgot what I was going to say.
Yes! Yeah. I should have a little sound effect every time I derail one of Elliot's train of thought.
Just like, it's like a Stand By Me moment there. Thank you.
Well, that makes me the fat kid who's banging Rebecca Romijn Stamos now, so cha-ching.
I mean, I think the best way to get anybody to pay attention to the game is to actually approach it from the mentality that everybody knows that that nobody has a stake in the game. So treat it like nobody has a stake in the game and make it something that's just fun. Make it something where the players will want to play in the game. Honestly, I think they ought to just make it a flag football game. And then you're not going to have a very low risk of injuries, which is the reason why many of the players don't want to play. And just imagine how much fun they'll have just playing flag football.
That's kind of
the problem. Yeah, football itself doesn't lend itself to this type of exhibition. The NBA All-Star game totally does, because people want to see the dunks and they want to see the dribbling.
Right.
There's no real way to authentically do that within a football game unless somebody's not playing defense.
Yeah. And then within a flag football imagine watching a bunch of professionals, 28-year-old professionals at the peak of their athletic ability, running the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
Yes. See, what I want to see is if they do that, if they go with a flag football, actually incorporate celebrities, like make it pro-am as well, because then you could have stick with me. Then you could have Kaepernick like throwing a pass to Paul Giamatti, but then and like standing there in the huddle, like, hey, here's what we're gonna do. You're gonna throw me the ball as I run 20 yards down the field, and Paul Giamatti's gonna be like, Kaepernick, why are you talking like that?
But we've already had that. You know what it was called?
Rock jocks.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, that led to
I rescind my comment.
Playing with Will Smith.
Woo! Okay.
Which sounds like a really weird sexual position.
Like Will Smith and Denzel.
That's your Denzel impression.
Oh, that's right. Like, woo! What? Don't swear.
There you go.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing. You know, you're talking, JC, you're talking about the NBA All-Star game and talking about the dunks and the things that people want to see. You know what one of the most exciting parts of an NFL game is?
Hitting.
The kickoff.
Oh, yeah.
You know what they're no longer going to have in the Pro Bowl according to these new measures?
Vodka.
Kickoffs.
Well, vodka will still be allowed. I was sort of right. That's where hitting happens, is in kickoffs.
Right. Yeah. So no more kickoffs. Here's a few of the other changes. No more kickoffs. They will have 2-minute warnings. They're not going to stop the clock on incomplete passes unless it happens to be within the 2-minute warning. Defenses are now allowed to run more schemes than just man-to-man, so now they can play zone and coverage and all that.
and the kickoff specialist position will now be replaced by another defensive back. So I'm going to go back for a second and talk about one of my favorite moments from any Pro Bowl. Probably the one moment that makes me go, maybe the Pro Bowl is worth watching, is when the Buffalo punter tried to sneak the ball and got laid the fuck out by Sean Taylor. That was one of the great, like, and then just jumped, like, he got hit so hard that everyone thought he was dead.
Did Chris Tucker get up to them and be like,
you got knocked the fuck out, man?
Yeah, no, it was,
But that can still happen. They're not getting rid of punts. They're not getting rid of punts. No, punts, you can still punt. It's still part of the, it's still part of, it's still part of the strategy. It's just kickoffs.
Okay.
Okay.
So just we can still have Sean Taylor,
Yeah.
Well, that's unfortunate.
That's one of the best parts of football is, and this sounds really anti what people are trying to, you know, protect the players. And I agree, protect the players, but it's also the reptile part of my brain. I love watching a kickoff when you got the people blocking for the returner and you get these blind hits. Yeah. They just don't even know. People just get laid out. And I'm just like, that's great.
On the one hand, it sounds crass and it sounds like a bloodlust and that you're, you know, reducing the game to a gladiator sport type era. On the other hand, these guys make more money than I will ever see, and by see I mean I don't mean have in my account, I mean ever, like, look upon. And I used to work at a bank. They have more money than God, so you'll forgive me if I'm not so concerned about treating them a little daintier than they are right now.
Did you work with Katie Holmes during that time?
I did not work with Katie Holmes at that time.
Okay.
I'm not sure even where you're going with that.
So movie Mad Money?
I'm going to cruise right past that reference. and I'm going to cruise right past the Nasuri. So we're going to move on to the second headline, which is entitled...
Not So Jolly Rancher.
Now, don't get me wrong. We've been hearing a lot about injuries that have been taking place during mini camps, during practices, and this is already cracking Elliot up. So this is probably my favorite injury, and I want to give props to JC for finding this one. this is going to be difficult for me to get through without laughing, but basically what happened is that Cowboys safety Barry Church... had to miss practice on Monday because he ate a Jolly Rancher a few weeks ago and he chipped his tooth on it, didn't think anything about it, and then woke up on Monday and his teeth were in so much pain he had to go to a dentist to get an emergency root canal. So a Jolly Rancher candy literally sidelined a Cowboys player for practice on Monday. I don't even think I need to say anything else.
The best part is that if you read the quote, he's like, yeah, man, this is exact quote. I'm adding a few words because I don't remember the exact quote, but this is the gist of what he says. Like, yeah, man, you know, I got to stick to the soft candies, like now and laters.
Starburst.
He said, I have to stick to the soft stuff. Starburst, Skittles, stuff like that. You know what else? Cowboys players, if you're really sticking with the soft stuff, I would say any of the Cowboys players, just chew on them, because are you fucking kidding me with this shit?
Is his rehab Dr. Willy Wonka?
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
And he could have lied. He could have bit anything else. Yeah. Why even say you ate a Jolly Rancher?
I mean, Johnny Manziel already tweeted that he got into, like, a fight with the guy, so...
I was eating an elk alive.
I was chewing on some bones.
Yeah.
I was eating a live elk.
Like, nobody's going to do an audit of your eating habits. What were you really eating?
Yeah.
I actually find it kind of fitting, considering that Tony Romo keeps getting foiled by his arm candy during the playoffs, so this makes perfect sense. Yes, I'm going to bring it back to Jessica Simpson, because yes, I think that's fucking hilarious.
Oh, I love it when I'm with you, so hey.
Stop that. Stop that immediately, or I will make you eat all of the chicken of the sea that I have in the house. Which is to say,
but nothing
none.
But a t-shirt on.
Oh, God damn it. So, do we have anything else to say about this guy whose career is clearly on the up on the upward swing, getting deep sidelined by fucking candy?
Well, he's in pretty good company as far as weird injuries. I forgot what year, Sammy Sosa once was talking to a reporter and he sneezed twice and had back spasms, had to go on the
Was it like a sneeze but better?
He missed a month from a sneeze.
What are they, Home Alone villains?
Apparently, no one said bless you, and that's what happens when no one says bless you.
Jesus just gets pissed.
Yeah.
In 2001, San Diego Padres pitcher Adam Eaton was trying to open a DVD wrapper, and he used a knife and cut his wrist really badly.
How stupid do you have to be?
Sorry. He stabbed himself in the stomach.
Not better!
Okay, hold on. I own a lot of DVDs. I have run into the problem that he's facing here. I actually, I was reviewing this series called Neverland, and they sent me this piece of swag, this promotional material that was just this little tiny sword, and that has become my go-to DVD and Blu-ray packaging opener. So I understand that it's difficult. I also understand that you don't cut yourself away from the body. But it's like he had to balance. Okay, so it's like trying to push a pool door.
was he in Prometheus and thought he had an alien inside of him?
Maybe, but it's like I'm trying to figure out. Okay, so I've got the box on my stomach. Why is it on my stomach? Okay, and then I take the knife and I'm running it toward me. How did he even? What? That doesn't even work. No, I think it's bullshit. Your Honor, so, I want to point to Exhibit A, which is common sense.
In this guy's defense, he missed one game. Sammy Sosa missed an entire month.
Yeah, this guy tries to give himself an appendectomy and misses one day. Sammy Sosa sneezes a little bit hard and misses a month. I guess shriveled balls isn't the only side effect. That's all I'm gonna say. All right, well, moving on to our third headline, which is enigmatically titled...
Terrence Jones is a giant dickbag.
Terrence Jones, yeah, okay. So he plays for the Houston Rockets, which they just got Dwight Howard, and apparently that's good because there weren't enough dickbags already on the team.
Hey, hey.
He was arrested in Portland because he was seen stomping on a homeless man's leg. A police officer actually saw him do this. So he's walking out of a doorway, and there's these two homeless men were sleeping there. He yells, "Wake up," lifts his foot, and stomps on the guy's leg. Honestly, the only person I would immediately think would do something like that is named Patrick Bateman.
Yeah, it's. I mean, there's no excuse for it, and especially Terrence Jones is one of these guys. He was a rookie. He scored 5.5 points in 19 games last year. He's not all that far off of being a homeless guy soon himself.
Well, here's what I'm thinking happens.
They've been way more successful NBA players who've ended up homeless.
This guy is... begging for a trading places situation where that homeless guy sues the shit out of him, yeah. And to placate him, the NBA actually lets him play, and they find out he's actually really good.
For $1.
And then all of a sudden, it's Terrence Jones out on the street getting stomped on by Patrick Bateman or whoever the hell walks through that hotel door. That's what I hope happens. I hope that there is a trading places situation here.
I hope that there's a homeless NBA.
Men enter, all get sandwiches.
Just make them all NBA players.
See, that sounds like a Mark Cuban idea to me. Yeah.
Sure cake.
I gotta say, these players, the thing is, they're hungry.
Because
seriously, though, I hope, you know, this would be a situation where if I'm David Stern, I think he's the current NBA commissioner.
Yeah, David Stern, yeah.
For me, this is like, you know what? 1 year suspension.
Yeah.
Just because, like, you scored 5 points in 19 games, as JC said. You're not exactly contributing. Yeah. So you know what? Go hit the bricks for
seriously,
a year.
Okay, let's think about this for a second. ESPN devoted an entire week to some guy's Twitter account and whether or not he may have gotten drunk. Which, by the way, Johnny Football update, he got thrown out of a party at UT Austin recently, a frat party. They saw that he was... Johnny Manziel and said, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
So it's funny, though, the video, though, they're like trying to use it once again as more like, look at how out of control. It really makes Austin look more out of control because people like throwing beer bottles and yelling at him. He's just like, okay, I'm leaving.
So you're saying the club couldn't even handle Johnny Manziel right then?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. But also, why was that on ESPN and making news when this fucking basketball player is stomping on homeless people like he's playing the world's weirdest game of hopscotch and nobody bats an eyelash? It doesn't make news.
Well,
I don't understand this.
Well, it's because he scores 5 points a game and played in 19 of them.
Oh, well, I guess.
That's true, but I am surprised.
If he was a better player, we would care that he stomped on homeless people.
Like, it was Michael Jordan, then he'd be like, oh my God.
See, this is the key to getting away with things if you're a professional athlete. Suck.
Suck.
Yeah, just suck at what you do, and you can, which makes no sense to me, but I guess I can't argue with headlines. Speaking of headlines, our next one is entitled...
The Shit List.
The Shit List. The MLB has officially announced the names of the players it intends to suspend in the Biogenesis scandal. A-Rod is, of course, the most high-profile one. There's definitely a punishment coming down for A-Rod. A lot of people have speculated that it's a lifelong ban. And the other players, we've got Texas outfielder Nelson Cruz, San Diego shortstop Everett Cabrera, Detroit shortstop Johnny Peralta, and Oakland pitcher Bartolo Colon.
Melky Cabrera is a big name.
Melky Cabrera of Toronto. San Diego catcher Yasmani Grandal. And
he sounds like a beer.
Yeah. Yankees catcher Francisco Cervelli. Seattle catcher Jesus Montero. Yeah, so that's pretty much the list of names so far. They haven't, again, they haven't announced. It's this weird thing where it's like, you're all in deep shit. We just are waiting until Friday to tell you how much shit you're actually in.
It sounds like, you know, when you get in trouble at school and your mom's like, oh, your dad's gonna be coming home.
Exactly, it's a wait till your father gets home situation, and apparently your father is Friday. I don't know.
I gotta say, I'm glad they announced this because I was tired of this Biogenesis scandal where I could only feel it coming through the air tonight.
Stop it. Stop it immediately. Or I will use my invisible touch to strangle you across this table.
But I remember.
Stop it. You Can't Dance and other Genesis songs as well. So let's just kill that line of joking right now.
Okay, so some video.
So here's my question. Out of all of these people, with the number of times that he's been in trouble for this, do you think, one, Alex Rodriguez should face a life, should be banned for life, and two, do you think they will actually do it?
That's a pretty severe penalty, and as far as whether or not he should, it's been enough times, it's going to be a long enough penalty to where, it's a weird thing, I think, as long as he's probably going to be suspended, he's never going to be seen on a baseball field again anyways.
Really?
So... Yeah, I mean, he's probably...
He's getting up there in years, and...
He's getting up there in years. It's going to be 100 to 150 games. It's over for him. He's essentially going to be gone for life anyways, I think.
I agree. I mean, even if he does get back onto the Yankees roster, I don't see him necessarily get into the starting lineup, and I don't see any other team wanting to pick him up as a... He's too much of a liability. He doesn't get... Short of playing for free, maybe... I mean, I can't see any other team wanting to take a risk on him, and even just by bringing him into the club, you're diminishing the image of your club. I mean, that's how he's looked at around the league, yeah. I assume, anyway.
Well, I mean, one would imagine, yeah.
You make a great point, Adam. You start looking like the Blackwater of MLB teams. It's like, I don't care who we hire, just hire him. But, I mean, I agree with both of y'all. You know, there's a concept that, you know, the punishment has to fit the crime, and I don't know if a lifetime
Let's be fair here. In A-Rod's case, it's the punishment has to fit the crimes, plural.
Well, I get it, but like, I don't know if a lifetime ban is the right thing because it definitely affects competition. But I don't know if it affects competition the same way Pete Rose has affected competition because he's trying to get better. It's definitely at the expense of everybody else, but it's not like he's controlling it to throw the game.
Well, he's
not
also,
that Pete Rose ever did,
but he's also being accused of actually recruiting people to the Biogenesis thing. So it's not simply a passive like. I'm trying to be the best I can be, no matter what the illicit means.
And that's the thing. Like, we don't know exactly what it is that he did. If it comes out that that's what he's done, and he is responsible for putting a lot of these guys on
the
list...
He's basically the head of a steroid pyramid scheme?
Yeah, then absolutely he should be banned.
Well, strangely, that's...
Breaking baseball.
That's weird because, you know, I would think if you're going to take steroids, you're doing it because you're trying to get a leg up on the competition.
Yeah, so
why would you actually recruit other players to take steroids along with you?
Other brain shrinks or something?
I mean, other than trying to make it like a, I guess just make it a common thing around the league. Well, I know I do it. You know why? I know for a fact everybody does it because I'm the one who gave it to them.
Hello, Jose Canseco.
It's an idiotic type perception, but I wouldn't put it past them in this situation to think like that.
It's like Jehovah's Witnesses. I mean, there's only so many places up in heaven. it's really difficult to try to recruit other people for your spot.
The heaven that is located in Cooperstown in this particular regard. I think it's going to be really hard for people to believe that I am putting aside my feelings about the Yankees when I say this, but I think a lifetime ban for him is completely warranted. One, it's not the first time. It is far from the first time that he's gotten in trouble for this. He's been, you know, indicted for perjury for telling people he hasn't used these drugs when he has. Not only that, but the recruiting thing, breaking the labor laws. And I'm going to point this out once again. The guy makes more money than any other professional athlete, even when he's not playing the game. And even after all of the first few scandals, when he had his contract renewed, the MLB needs to send a message with Aaron Rodriguez. Their highest paid player, the person they are literally rewarding the most for playing the game, that a simple suspension is not enough. For somebody who has committed crimes as egregious as his, considering who he is and what he makes, it's time for them to take the next step.
Honestly, I don't even think the MLB can even make that much of a statement with Alex Rodriguez. A lifetime ban, you can ban him for 2 years, and it's a lifetime ban for Alex Rodriguez. I mean, he's that much older in his years. I mean, they can be very passive aggressive with it. They can put almost any kind of penalty on him that they want, and it's still going to result in the end of the career of Alex Rodriguez.
See, and that's why I think they need to not do that. I think people need to hear the words lifetime ban.
Yeah,
whether it effectively happens with a 2-year ban or not, people need to hear those words associated with him so that there is an actual deterrent against this type of
behavior. They set some kind of precedent.
Right.
Yeah.
But again, it's still a precedent against somebody who's 36, 37 years old, who's at the end of his career anyway.
Brian has a good point that there's a difference between saying, well, we're going to do this and it will effectively do that, and then saying, oh, well, you know, lifetime ban, because it makes the 20-year-old think, well, he didn't. Will I really get an effective lifetime ban?
If they don't do the lifetime ban, what it's going to tell all the 25-year-old players who are starting to use steroids is, I'm not going to get kicked out until I do it 6 times and I'm at the end of my career anyway, so who cares? It's very much like the argument, like, well, cigarettes will kill me, but I'll already be that old. I want there to be the threat of imminent death,
and the thing
career
is,
death.
Mark McGwire is a good example because he's somebody who has, at least in the eyes of Major League Baseball, has shown remorse, has shown that he won't be a detriment to the game despite the fact that he did cheat back in the day, and he's a hitting coach for the Dodgers now. I think that's the concern when it comes to whether or not you ban A-Rod for life. You don't want A-Rod 10 years from now saying, hey, I want a job as a manager.
Yeah.
And
They should not open their arms to him, you know, 10 years later in that position.
And I want to apologize that I didn't know not the accusation that he was actually not a dealer, but an encourager.
Well, and again, of this is the allegation. I can't say definitively that that's what he did, but it's like with this laundry list of even potential offenses, and you add those to the ones we already know he's guilty of.
See, but my thing is, that's the dispositive notion, is that if he can be proven to be the guy that was encouraging all this, I think it's essential to give him a lifetime ban, and possibly more
let me put it to you this way. As lenient as MLB has really been to him with all of his previous problems, the fact that there is enough evidence for them to move for another suspension against him tells me that there's plenty of evidence that he actually did do these things. So again, I think the only way you can possibly hope to deter the scourge of performance-enhancing drugs in baseball, and this goes for really all sports, is to start making examples. The only example that we have right now is Pete Rose, and that's not even for performance-enhancing. It's like, well, if you gamble, then, you know, you're the worst part of it. You're a detriment. And like, really? Yeah. Pete Rose, he's the detriment to the game.
Yeah,
not the people who are cheating to not only get ahead in the game, win championships, get bigger salaries, and completely corrupt your system from the inside. Those people aren't as bad as a guy who can't fucking manage his money.
But here's the thing. I think it's gotten to a point where it's out of control for baseball, because I feel like for a while it was like, let's just turn a blind eye because we're getting a lot of hits going on right now and everybody loves it and everybody's watching.
Exactly, yeah.
And so it sort of got out of control.
Yeah. I mean, here's the idea with Pete Rose, though. The lifetime ban with Pete Rose worked. These days, as many years as it's been, you could poll 100 professional athletes. Not a single one of them will tell you that they ever bet on professional sports.
Yeah, but again, I'm like, who cares? Like, yeah. What does that possibly have to do with...
The effect of the lifetime ban.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
I'm somebody who, I love going to Vegas, I love gambling, I'm the furthest thing from a professional athlete. I won't ever bet on professional sports.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Pete Rose is about as close as you can get to MLB royalty as there possibly is. I mean, he holds the record for most hits in a career. Like,
yeah.
That's almost an impossible-to-break record with what he set. And he is, in all senses, a Hall of Famer, but a lifetime ban on one of your most, I mean, one of the people who you would want to be the ambassador for your sport, if you're willing to put it on them, that you will effectively kick them out and make it known that they had nothing to do with your sport at all, then that really does send, I guess it does send a great message. A good enough message to make sure that it does actually help deter younger athletes from trying to do the same thing.
Yeah, because you have to change that calculus that goes through people's head. Because, I mean, you do think of... I mean, a logical person would think of the worst-case scenario. Now, they probably will think it's not going to happen to them, but you need to at least have that in your head, like, you know, this is something that probably will happen if I get caught. Lifetime ban, not just, I'll get suspended for 65 games on a sucky team like Milwaukee, I think it was.
With Brian Braun, yeah.
With Brian Braun, yeah. And fuck it, I have an injury already, so...
Yeah. And yeah. He's going to lose $3 million, but next year he's going to start making his $130 million.
This is exactly what I'm saying. Don't let A-Rod game the system by giving him a couple-year ban that will ipso facto kick him out of baseball.
Yeah, no lawyer ball.
Put the fucking words lifetime ban on Alex Rodriguez and let people know that this is not okay. And guys, I got to say, I would argue that this discussion has been as substantial as the Jolly Rancher Gate discussion. I have to thank you for your input on
this. We have years of research into candy, so come on.
That's true. So our next headline is entitled...
Don't Hate, comma, Player.
Yes, Don't Hate, comma, Player. This is a reference to professional golfer Gary Player, who is giving love advice. I really wish I was making this up. Giving love advice to Rory McIlroy, excuse me. Basically saying that the reason that McIlroy is not winning the title that he wants is that he's too distracted by his current girlfriend.
Well, I mean, if his girlfriend's name is Amelia, I can understand why he's distracted, because he's Rory. Him and Amelia are off with the doctor, and they come back.
Are you making Doctor Who jokes?
Doctor Who jokes are cool now.
No, they are. No, I appreciate it. Thank you for making those jokes. No, he's actually dating tennis star Caroline Wozniacki. And that's according to Player, who is definitely hating on the game here, is what's preventing him from fulfilling his potential. The quote, I got to read you this quote, and then I'm going to tell you, I'm going to see if you guys can, see if it sounds like a song to you, like the lyrics from a certain song. The thing is, for a man like Rory with talent galore, he's got to make sure he has a woman like I've got. This is Player talking to McIlroy, who's been married to me for 56 years. Now, okay, I'm going to stop you right there. It's impossible for McIlroy to have a woman who's been married to him for 56 years if he's not 56 years old. So,
well,
Grandpa,
he's not 75.
Take your fucking ginkgo biloba, because you're already starting to talk like an idiot. But here's where it gets funny. Here's where it gets funny. So anyway, he goes on to say that he's got to get a good woman who will stick by him for a long time, and he specifically says that beauty isn't everything. Does that sound to anyone else like the lyrics to Happy for the Rest of Your Life by Jimmy Soul?
Don't know that song.
If you want to be happy for rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. So from my personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you. He's basically just spouting off song lyrics as relationship advice to Rory McIlroy. And my favorite part of this whole thing is that when they asked McIlroy about it later at a press conference, they're like, how do you feel about players' statements about you and your love life? And he's like, I haven't heard them. What did he say? And then the people in the audience were like, oh, we don't actually know what the official quote is. Yeah, like literally they were hoping that he had listened to it, because apparently they hadn't listened to Grandpa's ramblings either.
Does nobody have a smartphone on them?
They were just like, oh, we weren't fucking listening.
Just one second. Oh man, Google's already slow.
Guy started spitting out Jimmy Soul lyrics. We stopped listening about three sentences in.
Want him to sing, instead of Jimmy Soul, son, your love is lifting me higher. But then the slime starts dancing.
Then the Statue of Liberty starts moving. It's a big fucking mess. My whole thing is like, dude, McIlroy is a kid. Like, who gives a shit who he's dating right now?
Here's one thing McIlroy could have said, though, was since 2008, Caroline Wozniacki has earned, playing tennis, $15 million.
Community property is
so
awesome.
I think he's doing okay.
She's as hot as both of the sons of Tatooine, and she's a fucking millionaire. I'm gonna say it, Player. Maybe McIlroy's doing okay for himself.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know anything about Gary Player's wife, but I'm pretty sure since 2008 she hasn't earned $15 million.
Probably hasn't earned 15 cents.
There you go. Well, that's. I think this is terrible advice that we can take from Player.
Find a rich girl.
Yeah, we are not romantic advice columnists over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, no, none at all.
If any of you listeners are rich too, I'm single.
Female and man. I was like, you're a man.
You can
Colin Kaepernick, he means you.
Yeah, if you're listening out there, Colin, JC would really like to snuggle.
I was going to say female listeners or Colin Kaepernick.
And if Colin Kaepernick is willing to get some surgery.
Okay. Well, our next headline is entitled
Icing?
Icing, which is, of course, a hockey term, which is relevant because the Chicago Blackhawks are actually selling melted, removed ice from the United Center, basically as a commemoration of their Stanley Cup victory, which, yeah, it's funny because the Stanley Cup playoffs, hockey in general, will be our main topic tonight. But, guys, I gotta ask you this. Would you ever buy something like this?
Water? I buy water all the time.
Would you buy bottled water if someone told you, well, it used to be ice at the hockey rink of the Chicago Blackhawks?
If I was going to buy it, I'd have to stop. I'd have to talk to a few friends and collaborate and listen and see if they were back with a brand new invention.
Shot it. But I don't know. This is like, I understand. I get it. Like, I get it, man. If somebody came up to me and was like, this is a piece of turf from the Colts' victory over the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. This is a piece of the turf that Joey Addai trod upon to score that winning touchdown. I wouldn't buy it, but I would at least have to give it a second.
You'd have a moment of pause.
I would ponder it.
Okay, the moment is unique. The field that you play on is not.
Yeah.
So the
yeah.
Amongst the one great game, there were hundreds of shitty ones.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good point.
But in this case, you're not even getting the piece of the field in the same state as it was when it was played on. Yeah. You're getting a cup of water. Hey, they might as well sell it to you in a Dixie cup.
I love a memorabilia piece that will keep me alive in the desert. That's what I like.
Yeah,
for like 12 seconds.
Yeah, the cynic. The cynic in me. I'm not a cynical person, but the cynic in me would look at a situation like this and be like, "What the fuck would I buy that for?"
The best part is they're selling these for charity, and what I find funny about that is you know that the people that buy them are immediately going to put them on eBay.
The people who buy them probably need charity because they have wrong priorities.
Because they think that owning a cup full of water as sports memorabilia.
Here's the best part. You can fake it. You can just say, hey, this is some ice. I scooped it up myself.
Oh, yeah. This is...
Yeah, like when Yankee Stadium was torn down and they sold pieces of that, even the cynic in me was just kind of like, oh, you know that's really from Yankee Stadium. Like, be a rock from anywhere.
I love it. Authenticated ice is now going to be in collectible shops.
I won't believe it until you deliver me Joe Torre's head in a plastic bag, and I'll be like, okay, well, I guess I can verify that.
This is technically melted ice. It's water.
What happens if you drink the water? Does it give you special powers?
You get to...
You probably die. You know how much shit you
I was hoping it'd be like a rookie of the year or a goon sort of situation where you get powers and you can play hockey now.
No, I think it's more like the water boy. It will revive you after you get hit and then you can continue to make a shitty movie.
You'll get very sick.
You'll get very, very
imagine
sick.
Putting that through a filtration system, just seeing all the shit that's there in the filter when it goes through.
It tastes like blade polish and teeth fragments.
There's teeth in there.
Somebody's always trying to ice skate uphill.
Some motherfucker's always trying to ice skate uphill and then sell you the ice from the hill. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that, you know what, we'll ask our special guest when he gets here whether he would buy it.
He likes Chicago. No, yeah, he likes Chicago.
Okay, you know what? Give me a cup. I have an idea. I think we're going to sell our special guest some water. I'm going to do this. He's not here yet, so I'm going to do this.
Oh my God, this is actually the joke that they could sell ice to a person in Chicago. It's finally happened. The singularity has been reached. The universe is going to start collapsing in on itself.
Yeah. All right. Well, for our last headline, it's entitled...
Just a Reminder.
This is Just a Reminder, people. NFL preseason starts in 1 week!
Yay!
We can finally start talking about football.
Yeah, I think this coming Sunday is the last Sunday with no football.
Oh, thank you, God.
I think we have the Hall of Fame game. And then it officially starts.
Oh, we might have just passed the last Sunday with no football then.
Oh.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's crappy football. It's still football.
Hey, I can stop watching Canadian and arena football now. I am happy. I am pleased as punch.
Yeah, every time a new Johnny Manziel story comes out, I'm just like, we need college football. We need football now.
You know, I tell you, this is sort of a change of subject, but talking about nothing on. I lived in Houston when the Houston Comets and the WNBA were on the streak, and that was actually really, really fun to watch at the time. And I don't know what happened
back when Cheryl Swoops was playing.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Like, I was watching a Title IX, the 9 for 9 on ESPN the other day. And it just made me remember how, like, there was a part where Lisa Leslie and Tina Thompson almost got in a fight. Like, that was a great era. I don't know what happened to WNBA. Like, I know they're still around, but why aren't the games as good?
I don't know.
I don't think the games changed at all.
I don't know how to answer that question without sounding like an asshole. So, okay. I'm going to
I will beg off. I'm sorry. I didn't mean... Just a reminder, football season starts in 40 days. Go. Sorry.
In 40 days?
How did you get to the WNBA from NFL preseason starts in a week?
I think we just figured out...
Games.
Hey, wait. Oh, shit. We But yeah, he went from NFL preseason to WNBA championships as comparable in excitement level. So I'm just, that's Elliot. Don't put that on me.
Damn it.
So now for the scores. The Pirates erased the Cardinals 6-0. The Dodgers found out the only way to win is not to lose, beating the Yankees 3-2. The Rays found a way to beat the Diamondbacks 5-2. The Tigers totally Akira'd the Nationals 11-1, and the Braves went yacht on the Rockies 11-3. Even though that was not a Red Sox score, I went ahead and put that accent on
you
there.
You sound like Jay Baruchel in the Goon right now.
There's the likes of fucking Ned Beatty or possibly the cast of Oz could comprehend.
Okay, that's actually pretty creepy.
There was no Summer Basketball League this week, so you'll just have to make up your own scores as opposed to us just making up the scores for you.
What I would love if there was a game like those Michael Jordan commercials where you could have people from different eras playing each other. Like, I want to see LeBron in high school versus LeBron in the Cleveland Cavaliers versus LeBron on the Heat now and see what happens.
I would like to see LeBron James versus a pack of Raptors. Not okay. The Toronto Raptors, an actual pack of Raptors.
You don't have to say to that? Clever girl.
Indeed. Don't call me a girl. So we're going to move on to the grand finale of segment one, our favorite little game of all time, and it's entitled...
He Might Be a Cyborg.
He Might Be a Cyborg. This week, okay, I have never been more convinced any of our shows that the person we're talking about is a cyborg. Like, seriously, you guys, I want him tested, not for performance-enhancing drugs, but performance-enhancing cybernetics. Okay, listen up. So, Florida State tight end Nick O'Leary, who incidentally is the grandson of golf legend Jack Nicklaus, was riding his motorcycle in Tallahassee and crashed into a Lexus, which sent him sliding 100 feet and narrowly had him missing the city bus that recorded the whole thing. Have you guys seen this? It's on YouTube.
Yeah, I saw it when Adam emailed it to us.
It's gnarly. It's like something out of The Fast and the Serious Head Wound. I don't know how this guy just gets up and walks away. He went to the hospital to be treated for minor injuries.
See, I don't know. If I was him, I'd be worried if I ever saw Samuel Jackson.
Why is that?
Unbreakable.
There we go.
Oh. I was like, is he going to get recruited in the Avengers? Like,
well, he could be.
Be more specific! It could be.
It's my reference!
That's a good point. So they did check out the motorcycle and found that its previous owner was a J. Connor. These missing, presumed dead.
A John Connor?
Yes. Because he's a terminator. Really?
Just a bit outside.
I'm sorry. That was
really? The Unbreakable thing. I should have.
Sorry. No, I didn't know if that was real or not. I was going to make a
no,
joke.
No, Jeff Connor.
Sorry. I am sincerely
that's
sorry.
That's why joke is.
Of the Little River Band.
I am sincerely sorry.
I don't even know if there's a guy named Jeff Connor.
That was completely my fault. I am sorry.
Don't apologize to me. It just makes firing you so much harder.
Let's talk about Armageddon some more.
Yes! Don't want to close my eyes.
If you get a chance, though, you should YouTube this. Maybe we'll put it up in the post itself. It is fucking insane. He doesn't even look like he tries to slow down.
Nope.
Just like...
that's the part I don't get, is the car is... The car.
He has time.
Yeah, he has plenty of time.
So he's definitely not...
Holy shit! I'm just watching it now. Sorry, go ahead.
I realize there's no way he's a cyborg. Because a cyborg would have been able to scan that from miles away. Or maybe, you know, a few inches away and be like, maybe I shouldn't apply the brakes.
So here's
Applying brakes.
Here's the range we have. We have a guy who gets in an accident and walks away, and then we have a guy who gets injured by a Jolly Rancher.
Yeah.
Let's just think about that for a
one's
second.
One's a professional, one's not.
Yeah. One is most definitely not a cyborg.
And according to the NCAA, only one of them is allowed to make money. I'm sorry, I'm going to pay the dude who's unbreakable.
Yeah, he should get that guy's salary for the year.
Seriously. Like, maybe, okay, instead of paying you $15 million as we promised, here's a bag of pixie sticks, get the fuck off the field. We're bringing in the Terminator to take your spot. So, yes, that's going to do it for segment one. We'll be right back with our special guest and our special topic. We are unfortunately going to forego final draft this week. I am sorry for the three of you that demand it. But stick around for our main topic, because if you don't, we will flag you.
Born from great opportunity. And that's what you have here tonight, boys. That's what you've earned here tonight. One podcast. If we record it 10 times, they might beat us 9. But not this podcast. Not tonight. Tonight we joke with them. Tonight we stay with them. And we ruin their jokes because we can't. Tonight, we are the greatest sports podcast in the world. You were born to be podcasters. Every one of you. And you were meant to be here tonight. This is your time. Their time is done. It's over. I'm sick and tired about hearing about what a great podcast the original gentlemen are. School! This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
That was Elliot with the inspirational speech that will lead us into segment 2 of this episode of Inside the Locker. Now, Elliot is, of course, paraphrasing the famous motivational speech given by Tony Robbins at that at that conference at the Airport Hilton in Tampa Bay. Am I right?
Gay porn hard.
Gay porn hard.
It's actually Herb Brooks before the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team played the USSR.
Oh, that was the film Miracle. I love that film. Very, very inspirational.
And, you know, I hadn't even seen that movie, but I had to take the bar exam 4 years ago, and I would watch that. I didn't even have the context of the movie. Just watch that speech because it's such a great inspirational speech. Because you know what? And I would modify and be like, I'm tired of hearing how hard the bar exam is. Screw them.
Yeah.
Let's go out and take it.
No, it gets you pumped, man. It really sets the bar.
And but, more hard.
And how many times did you take the bar exam?
One.
Right, there you go. One and done. Awesome. Well, that speech is appropriate as our main topic tonight is hockey. And joining us, it really wouldn't be a hockey sports cast without our special guest. He is the publisher slash inventor of FilmSchoolRejects.com, a fine publication you should all be checking out. Mr. Neil Miller, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It is quite an honor to be here, eh?
Eh?
That's some Molson's, eh?
Puck,
eh.
Yeah, it is.
We need some Labatt Blue in here, eh?
Yeah, I actually thought about that. I was like, man, I should have gotten some Molson and some Labatt out here. You know what I do have for you, though, as a special gift? I purchased some of the ice from the United Center that I am going to sell to you at a very reasonable price. I keep it in a Dixie cup in the kitchen. I don't have it right now. I have to go turn on the tap. I mean, go get it. But yeah, we'll have that for you as soon as we're done recording.
The question I have, or that many people have had so far, is what do you do with something like that?
I think you boil it for ramen. I don't know.
I mean, first of all, it's kind of gross. It's paint and it's sweat and it's blood and it's
probably HIV from
dead
from
children.
Ice.
So why would you like drink it?
That was my ignorant question. I was like, what happens if you drink it? And I didn't think about it.
You'd
all
probably
the disgusting,
get some sort of weird. Yeah. You'd die.
Probably.
But it would be worth it because go Blackhawks.
Is there such a thing as hockey-titis? Because I feel like that's what you would get if you drank the water.
That's basically you have to be cordoned off in Detroit when you get hockey-titis.
Which is really the best place to be quarantined, right? Because it already looks like the Fallout from an apocalyptic film. So.
Yeah, like the new Fallout game's not going to be Fallout New Vegas. It's going
to
be
Fallout Current Detroit is what it's going to be. Absolutely.
You know, you can buy a house in Detroit for literally, like, I think $500, but nobody will buy it because the property taxes are so high. Because
it's like liability. Buying a house in the demilitarized zone. I mean, why would you do it?
As someone who grew up in Cleveland, that really warms my heart.
I do love that video, the Cleveland video that says our economy is based on LeBron James and buy a house for the price of a VCR. And then at the end just goes, we're not Detroit! And, like, that's their only like mark in the favorable column for Cleveland is that they are not actually
okay.
Detroit. We're all okay. We're all alright. Well, hockey, this is an interesting subject because it's not, you know, when most people, and especially with geeks who have sort of a tertiary appreciation of sports, I mean, you're talking about something that ends up like fourth or fifth down the list of professional sports, and yet I feel like the culture of hockey and the fandom of hockey continues to grow every single year and has definitely been aided this year by an incredible playoff series. We'll get to that in just a moment. But first, I want to, Neil, you are probably the biggest hockey fan that I know. So I'm curious to know, you mentioned that you grew up in Cleveland. When and where did your hockey obsession begin?
It definitely began early. I have family who, and I think this is one of the things about hockey is when you are in Canada and you see people who grow up with hockey. There are hockey families. Like, there's part of my family that is the hockey family. And I just like spending time with them. And enjoyed the game of hockey, even though I never really played it in any sort of non-pond-related way.
Non-pond-related.
So, it's something you're kind of born into as a hockey family, and I was lucky enough to have part of my family be very into it. It's interesting, too, because as a kid, hockey is kind of an expensive sport to play.
Yeah, the pads alone are fucking ridiculously
expensive. So you have to be either rich or committed, you know, and so, but yeah, for me, it began really early, you know, parts of my family that lived in Chicago, my uncle actually works for Rocky Wirtz, who owns the Blackhawks, so we got to go see Blackhawks games all the time when I would visit, and I just kind of fell in love, you know, I got to see Wayne Gretzky play once.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Once, one time. Funny story about that, when I was in the stands, we were sitting, you know, at pretty decent seats, and a couple rows behind us, there were a few, it was the Blackhawks and the LA Kings, it was when Gretzky played for the Kings, and a couple rows behind us were these two players who were not playing for the Kings, and it was Tony Granato and Marty McSorley, who I thought at that time were just the coolest two dudes. First of all, McSorley's mullet was the lion's mane. I mean, until I became acquainted with the glorious mane that is Barry Melrose's head, I had never seen anything like that. So I still have a ticket, a Chicago Blackhawks, old Chicago Stadium ticket signed by Marty McSorley. I believe later on he went and hatchet chopped somebody in the head with a stick or something, yeah. Got kicked out of the league, but you know, back then he was still pretty all right.
Isn't that the situation on which they based Ross the Boss Ray in The Goon? Not The Goon, but in Goon.
In Goon.
If it wasn't McSorley, it was the other guy.
It was Todd Bertuzzi. There were a couple of them that pulled some, I don't know how much swearing I can do. Asshole moves.
You can say whatever you want.
Some proto Brass Brothers.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is old school stuff, but this is back when the Kings were coached by the mullet Barry Melrose, who's a personal hero of mine.
And if you're not familiar with Barry Melrose, he is the token Canadian who does all of the hockey commentating on ESPN. The guy could not be a more broadly drawn caricature of what people think Canadians are. It is glorious.
Oh, and he's awesome.
I will say that hockey, more than any other sport, has the most illustrious history of spectacularly horrible hairdos.
Yeah, what's up with that?
The hockey haircut.
I don't know. I mean, NFL might have you there.
It looks like a little fleet of skating Brigitte Nelsons all the time.
Do you remember mid-1990s Jaromir Jagr playing for the Penguins, where he looked like a poodle? He had the poodle poof hair, and then the long... I mean, it wasn't a party in the back. It was a siesta in the back.
Did he have the hairstyle like the guy in The Fifth Element? Just...
Pretty all much, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. He looked like an alien from a 50s like B sci-fi movie.
You're right. Hockey does get a little weird with a few things: hair, and facial hair. Playoff beards. I think baseball took that from hockey.
Yeah,
and it's also in my mind such a manly sport. Like, it's so athletic and it's so physical and it's so lumberjackian that it's just the definition of like hard, awesome, badass dudes all play hockey.
It is hard. It is gay porn hard.
And it's weird.
As Goon has said.
It's weird because I always say that hockey is like a tough guy, like the ultimate tough guy sport. And I always get into this argument, not with like football fans, but soccer fans.
Oh, good God. Are you kidding me?
Or football fans. The problem I have with this is soccer fans are tough.
Oh, absolutely.
Way tougher than
the pansies on the field.
But the players are total sissies.
Like, don't get me wrong. It takes a lot of effort to run back and forth for 3 hours. I get that. Right. I'm not in shape to do that. They're better conditioned
than NHL players. Yeah.
However, I will settle this argument right now. There is a policy in officiating in hockey to let players who want to fight, fight.
Yes.
They don't even try to break them up. And in soccer, you pretend to get hurt so that you can have a few minutes to rest. Flopping? You think the flopping in the NBA Finals was bad? Watch any given soccer game.
The way you just described soccer makes it sound like some sort of concentration camp sport. I'm hurt. I need some rest.
Well, what's even worse is that
hockey's like fighting a real war.
Indeed.
What's even worse is in soccer, when you're sort of injured, sometimes the clock keeps going. So if you have like a 1-point lead, you'll just be like, I'm laying down. Oh, is that clock still going?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, not to diss on soccer, but
I'll just soccer all day.
What's the deal with that sport?
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those things that we'll have somebody on. This is the situation. Hockey, for me, I'm interested in it, but it's never been a sport that was, like, the number one thing that I would watch. Soccer, on the other hand, is a total, like, puzzle box enigma to me, and I'm going to have somebody on here to explain the appeal. But as we are talking about hockey right now, I want to touch upon something else that you said, Neil. The idea of hockey as sort of the Norman Rockwell fireside activity, where your family comes together and literally is watching hockey as a gathering, as a communal act. And I think that sort of speaks to the regionality of sports, because in a lot of places in the country, especially in Texas, it'd be football, high school football, college football, whatever's on. But I also grew up in the Midwest. I grew up in Indiana.
Meth country,
yeah, absolutely. So watching hockey on crystal meth is one of the most intense experiences.
I thought their state motto was meth and basketball, yo.
Meth and basketball, yo. I remember distinctly one of my favorite memories was we would go to the Pepsi Coliseum, which is in the Indiana State Fairgrounds, and watch the Indianapolis Ice, which were our minor league hockey team.
Minor league's the best.
It's one of the few sports that still uses a pipe organ. I love the like old school pipe organ sports music. It really kind of puts you into that mindset of the game and the historical elements of it. And I love that they still do that. But I do think it's regional. I think over the last few years, the borders of that region have sort of become nebulous and expanded out a little bit more.
Sure. When I was growing up, it was the closer you lived to Canada, which I guess, depending on what you think of Lake Erie, is pretty much swimming distance from Cleveland.
Yeah.
If
you're really brave, it's swimming distance.
So spending summers in Canada and growing up in Cleveland, even though Cleveland didn't have a pro hockey team, you still had that love for hockey. And I think what gets you into hockey is kind of the toughness and the physicality of it. It's fun to watch live. It's one of the few sports up there with, football that are way better to watch live than they are on TV. And what I think sells you as, for me as a longtime fan, is there's so much prestige. Yeah. There's so much reverence. We're talking about, eventually going to talk about this year, and you see it when a team wins the conference championship and they go to the Stanley Cup Finals, they won't even touch the trophy for the conference championship.
Yeah.
Because they don't touch trophies until they win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, and it's called Lord Stanley's Cup. I mean, you talk about reverence. Absolutely, they have that.
Well, Lord Stanley was a pretty kick-ass dude.
And I like the idea that I've always read about how teams don't walk on the logo in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's what that meant in Goon.
Right. Yeah. It's definitely a hockey thing where they don't walk on the logo.
Because there was a big story a few weeks ago. Justin Bieber got to visit the Blackhawks locker room, and he was like walking all over the logo. And people were like, what are you doing?
If there's one person on this planet that I would love to see just like tag team beat down from the 76 Flyers, it's Justin motherfucking Bieber.
I'd say the best thing about Justin Bieber, and I'm going to say one good thing about him.
Why?
Come with me on this journey, and you'll see.
You can tell who the defense attorney on this show is.
Just saying. He has now proven. Remember at Saved by the Bell where they go forward in future and they say that, oh, they had a band and Zach Morris splits off. Right. There's a picture online where they did a side by side of Justin Bieber and Zach Morris when he was like on his own. And they look exactly the same.
Nice.
I don't see what you're pointing.
Which championship pro sports team was Bieber supporting in the photo?
Himself. I'm thinking the Devil Rays.
Yeah, all right.
The Beliebers.
Don't stop believing.
What I think Elliot is trying to say is that Justin Bieber is saved by a Saved by the Bell comparison, which I am going to disagree with. But I appreciate that you made that point.
Somebody put it in the comments.
Good. I'm glad that's going to happen now. But, hockey, I think, like I said, I think part of the reason that it's becoming such a big deal right now is this most recent Stanley Cup playoff was incredible. And I actually have the numbers here. There were, out of all the games and all the series, 23 games that went to overtime. Three additional games that went to double overtime. And one game that went to triple overtime. Now, the cool thing about that is hockey is a sport where they still, and correct me if I'm wrong, Neil, but they still allow ties. Like, the game can still end in ties.
Not in the playoffs.
But not in the playoffs.
That's not true anymore.
Really?
Because now, in the regular season, you do a shootout.
Oh, that's so cool!
So you do, it's three periods of 20 minutes, and then you have a 5-minute 4-on-4. So normally it's 5-on-5, but it's 4-on-4 in overtime. 5 minutes and nobody scores, then you go back and forth shootout, which I think is one of the most exciting.
They did that so they can create more shootouts.
Right, because and there have been a lot of rule changes over the last couple of years in hockey that have been about creating more offense. You know, you look at my beloved Blackhawks, and one of the things that they won the Stanley Cup with... Hold on, let me just...
take that in.
Take a moment, man.
Yeah,
moment.
No, it's great.
By scoring more goals than
by,
the other team.
By being very...
Hey, there's don't that. Make fun of this man. This man has the glow, and he feels...
JC is the John Madden of hockey. Boom!
But you know, they use stretch passes, which, you know, where the defenseman in his own zone would pass it across two lines and hit a guy, almost essentially getting a breakaway, and that was illegal like 5 years ago. It was a completely illegal pass, but now it's totally legal and totally awesome because Patrick Kane lives on that stuff.
Slightly tangential, but can I ask you a question?
Yes.
What the hell is icing? I'll watch a game and I'll see that called, and I've tried it. Like, I'm a pretty analytical person. If I see something more than once, I'm like, okay, these are the parameters by which it is called this thing. I don't understand what icing is.
I know what icing is.
Okay, good. Please
tell
me.
Do they still call it?
Yeah, they absolutely call icing. So, all right, so let's say we're two hockey teams. And,
we're two hockey teams.
And you're on offense and I'm on defense.
Okay.
And you're in my zone.
Okay.
You've got the puck in my zone, you're shooting, I'm trying to get it out of my zone. So what would be the easiest way to kind of cheat the system and get the puck as far away from
just
my goal as possible?
Hit it as hard as you can.
Hit it as hard as I can all the way down to the other end of the ice.
Okay.
You can't do that. That's illegal. If it goes all the way down and crosses the line at the goal on the other end,
okay,
and you go back and touch it first,
then that's what I couldn't figure out.
Then the face-off comes all the way back down the other end. So
see, that's what I couldn't figure out, because I kept getting the sense that it had to do with where the puck traveled. But I couldn't figure out. I was like, oh, because it traveled this distance. And I watched him like, but it traveled the distance. They didn't call it. So it's if it travels that distance and the person who cleared it out, that same team is the first.
The only way to negate icing is for me to be shorthanded. So for you to be on the power play.
Uh-huh.
For me to race you down there and beat you to it.
Okay.
For your goalie to touch it.
Okay.
If he plays it. Okay. He or she. There's some female goalies out there.
Julie the Cat Gaffney.
Yeah. Or if the puck doesn't actually get far enough, like if it's still like playable, whereas I shoot it down and it's going so slowly that you would have to kind of stop and wait for it to cross the line, then they'd wave it off. But otherwise, it's there to cancel out the potential advantage of just chucking the puck down the other end when you're in trouble.
How does the knuckle puck play into this? I mean,
I've never seen anybody actually do it that in real
life. I think R.A. Dickey from the Toronto Blue Jays has to show up, put on hockey gear, and then hit the puck. I think at that point it becomes a knuckle puck.
But doesn't Keenan have to show up?
Yeah.
Keenan Thompson? Yeah. Or both Bash Brothers have to be there?
Yes.
Yes, I'm very confused as to whether we're still talking about real hockey or a movie, but...
It wasn't real?
I have a really funny story about the knuckle puck. So when Mighty Ducks was kind of a thing... Which is like every year since it came out. I taught my family that same family that inspired my hockey love. They ran a hockey school in Cleveland, so every August I would help them teach kids how to play hockey.
That's really cool.
It was like the most fun I've ever had, and we tried a knuckle puck once. And what happens when you try to do a knuckle puck is it turns out like a really hard punt. In football, and the puck just goes over the glass, and if there's any, like, moms waiting for their kids, and there's no net there...
How much of this is hypothetical?
Then you scared the ever-loving shit out of somebody.
Like, if there are moms in the stands, and if they get
I never hit anyone, but...
That you can prove.
I mean, we got yelled at. Let's just say that there was some yelling by older people.
That was always the best part about playing in the neighborhood, is, like, you would do something, you're like, man... I just hit that ball into somebody's yard. And you're like, oh my God, we got in trouble. That was always the best part.
Right. This one, you know, I'm assuming you guys have seen a hockey puck and held a hockey puck.
Yeah.
That coming at you at any speed faster than me tossing it underhand is horrifying.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Horrifying. So to see, you know, when you watch the NHL and you see these guys get hit in the face with it at like 85 miles an hour.
Oh, that's terrifying. That happened during this playoff.
Oh, several times.
Got knocked unconscious. And I remember it was at Boston, and, you know, everybody was still very high on Boston after the marathon bombings. But the Boston fans were booing that they stopped the game. And I'm like, the guy's laying possibly dead on the ice after taking a puck in the face. And I'm sorry, I think this is grounds for stopping the game for a moment to scrape him off the ice.
Right.
It's like in a Goon when like the puck hits him straight in the teeth.
Right.
They don't stop it. They're just like, yeah, they just start stepping on his
They
legs.
Just sort of pick him up and move him out of the way.
Yeah. And it reminds you of the days when goalies didn't wear anything on the face. And then it was like, oh, well, here's a piece of backing board that you can put, and we'll cut eye holes in it. And it's like, yeah, but that's still going to hurt. So it's been interesting to see sort of the evolution of the equipment as the game has remained as dangerous as it was, you know, from day one.
Sure.
I think what got me into hockey, honestly, was, you know, apart from some of the movies that I'm sure we'll mention later, was playing street hockey, like, in the backyard.
Right.
Which I had, you know, we had a ball first, and then we actually got the puck with the little, like, the little ball bearings.
Oh, yeah, the little roly puck.
Yeah, that could roll on the sidewalk. And that was just so much fun. And I remember wishing that we had, you know, ice throughout more of the year. I mean, the weather in Indiana is so wildly unpredictable that you would never, ever want to go out on a frozen pond, because within an hour, it could be melted and there could be a thunderstorm. Like, it's just, it's ridiculous. Right.
And then you'd be standing in, like, 2 feet of cold water.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's very dangerous to be, you know, wading in a pond,
there
apparently.
Could be a lady in that water.
There could be, but there's probably not. But as far as this particular playoff goes, yeah, you had all these great overtime games. You had this, you know, the Blackhawks and the Bruins that just seemed, I don't know, destined to be in the finals and just sort of an inevitability. But I got to say, like, even for somebody like me who I watch hockey on occasion, but usually only if football or basketball or something's not on, it was just, it was incredible to watch. I mean, did you feel like maybe it's just because I don't watch it as much, but did you feel, as someone who's watched presumably a lot of Stanley Cup playoffs, did you feel like this was a particularly more exciting year?
Well, it was, absolutely. From an objective standpoint, this is the first time that I've seen in my lifetime a professional sports Final Four that is the last four champions. So the Kings, the Bruins, the Blackhawks, and that other team that played, the Pittsburgh Penguins, were the last four Stanley Cup champions. So that's, you know, I can't think of another sport that's had that, where it's almost been like a rematch. You know, you had basketball, I think, this year was very close to that with the Spurs and Heat.
In a weird offshoot way, the last eight or nine NBA finals have featured either Kobe Bryant or LeBron James.
Well, right. I would say college football.
Right.
Yeah. It's sort of
sure.
That, but it's only the SEC. Go SEC.
But I think at that point it becomes less an NHL playoff breakdown and more a map of the powerhouse families of Westeros. Like, I think, like, the hierarchy of Westeros is being.
Did somebody kill
here.
A Targaryen or something?
Well, what's most interesting about it is that, similar to the NBA, the collective bargaining agreement of the NHL is such that it works against that kind of thing. So that's what's sort of magical about this year, is that, you know, you see teams like the Boston Celtics, everybody's talking about, oh, they're tanking, they're going to tank and they're selling off all their players. That happens every year in hockey. You know, you can't keep it. The fact that these four teams have not only kept most of their cores together, but built back stronger and haven't, like, tanked completely is amazing. So this year was this kind of very magical coming together of four really great contemporary teams. And, you know, subjectively, it was insane for me as a Blackhawks fan. This was such a great season. You know, they started with, they didn't actually lose a game for like 25, the first 20-something games, longest point streak.
A lot of it was like at the same time the Miami Heat were on their
streak, right? So you had these two amazing teams, and then, you know, the Blackhawks, they slowed down, and they almost got eliminated by Detroit, which would have probably brought me as close to wanting to not be a member of humanity anymore. although, in retrospect, maybe Detroit wouldn't have gone bankrupt if their hockey team would have kept winning.
I was going to say, at that point, you become a rover of the wasteland, but then that just means you drive to Detroit.
Yeah,
so,
that just means you live in Detroit.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the series between the Blackhawks and Bruins was intense, because you had the, you know, the city on the everybody's mind was Boston, and then you had the team, the great Chicago Blackhawks, and you had all those friggin' overtime games. I have like 400 new gray hairs from that one series.
I can tell you, viewers at home, he absolutely does. And to me, it wasn't just the overtime, but the game, I think it was the second to last game, the penultimate game, as they say, where they scored two goals in like 20-something seconds. Yeah. It was like Reggie Miller in the playoffs against the Knicks, just like, goal, okay, goal again.
Well, and that happened in the last game, too.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It's insane. It's insane to me how that all went
down. And especially in a sport where, you know, somewhat similar to soccer, it's like you don't get a lot of scoring necessarily. Like,
sure.
It's a very defensive game. I mean, there's a wide guy with a lot of pads standing inside the goal where you're trying
who's
to score.
Who's often very flexible and Russian and a gymnast. And that's you know, that's really hard on...
Doing some Gymkhana at the goal.
Yeah, exactly.
I think every goalie should be required to watch Gymkhana and then Born to Fight, the Thai movie about all the gymnasts taking on the terrorists. I think that would be extremely helpful.
And then, you know, Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Rings, because, you know, you shall not pass.
Yeah. You shall not pass.
Although I will say about the end of that series, that 3-2 win that the Blackhawks had in Boston, the nature of that game, with the Bruins being up 2-1 and then Blackhawks scoring twice at the end of the game, it was hard to watch, even though I was excited that we were winning, because, man, you had to feel bad for those Boston fans, because they just got their hearts ripped out of their chests right at the end.
Yeah, it was the ultimate pendulum swing in the other direction.
Yep.
Just like, we lost? How did we do that?
But if you remember from earlier in the playoffs, they did that to Toronto.
That's exactly
so. Totally had it coming.
Yeah, it's the worst sort of comeuppance.
If I can ask you just a quick question,
that's what the show is for, Elliot. Yeah,
sorry.
Don't apologize to him.
Don't ever.
What's your favorite? Your favorite's hard. What top two hockey games that you've ever watched? Watch later. Don't even watch them live.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of them. Game six of this year would probably be up there. Wayne Gretzky's last game, I sort of remember. And then just more on a general level, some of the really cool outdoor hockey games that have been played in the last
couple
of years,
where they freeze part of a baseball stadium,
yeah,
and then they'll play outdoors.
Mm-hmm. Play at Fenway one year,
yeah,
It's the Winter Classic, which they missed this year because of the lockout. Because hockey has the worst commissioner in all of sports.
I was gonna say, I don't think I've ever seen any league in any sport either threaten to shut down or actually shut down and strike as often as the NHL.
Yeah, the NHL. Gary Bettman is. He's awful as a commissioner of the league. He really does kind of bait the NHL Players Association and try to... I don't really know all the details of it, but it's... there's a lot, too, when he got out there to present the Stanley Cup in Boston and they just booed him.
Yeah, I think...
People do not like that guy.
I think it's a situation where if you become the commissioner of any sport, because none of them are particularly good at their jobs, and a lot of them are well liked, that's for sure. Yeah, a lot of them are just plain douchebags. Like, I wonder if it's like the Lord of the Rings situation for the Nine Kings, where once you get one of those rings, it's like, yeah, awesome, I will destroy everything.
or it's, you know, a Dark Knight.
Yeah, you either learn how to be a commissioner, or you live long enough to see yourself be terrible at being a commissioner.
Or David Stern.
I believe it's the full quote.
Well, and it's interesting they all have their own thing, where it's like David Stern is this Illuminati. He fixes games and is weird like that. Bud Selig is the can't figure out what to do about steroids guy. Roger Goodell is the over-disciplinarian of the New Orleans Saints guy.
And yet the problem with Goodell is like, yeah, it's like, great that you fixed that. What about all the other people you totally let off the hook?
And he makes shitty chocolate.
He's like... Yes, that's really been his biggest setback throughout his career. But it's one of those things, like, he reminds me of, like, the dean in Animal House. It's like, are you even paying
attention?
Double
secret probation.
Yeah, it's like, you're spending all your time on this one house. Are you even paying attention to, like, all the, like, date rape charges at the other... No? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Sadly, Gary Bettman's is he doesn't like watching hockey.
What? So, I feel like that would be a hindrance
that's the only reasonable explanation for why he lets him lock out, why he locks the players out every, like, 3 years.
It's like, good, I don't have to watch my product.
But I will say this. Hockey is one of the few sports that really does bounce back. You know, people yearn for hockey. And when it comes back, it's this elation. It's this just fantastic ride, and they had such a great shortened season, you know?
It's almost like a weird blessing in disguise in that. I remember the first time of the last three times they went into a lockout, it seemed like it took them a really long time to recover, and every time they have a lockout and subsequent comeback, the return of the fans seems to be greater and greater.
Yeah, they're getting very good at only playing half a season.
Yeah.
And speaking of the issues that they're having sort of in this regard, remind me, which teams is it that are in jeopardy of disappearing from the face of the earth?
I don't know if there's any teams.
I thought the Phoenix Coyotes.
I gotta imagine it's like
Phoenix Coyotes are perpetually in trouble.
Why does Phoenix have a hockey team?
They
used to be the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, that's
but now
the
Winnipeg Jets are the Winnipeg Jets
because they took their team from the Atlanta Thrashers,
right? Who also used to have an Atlanta team.
Yeah.
That Jim Craig played for. You'll remember him from Miracle.
Oh shit!
How about this? How about we have a new rule? Mm-hmm. That you can't have any hockey team below the Mason-Dixon line.
But see, I think that's...
But Dallas, they love their hockey team.
Well, in a lot of ways, yes, I will agree with that sentiment. But I think that kind of speaks to...
What about the Florida Panthers?
The Florida Panthers.
Hey, especially after this last month of Florida. Fuck Florida, too.
Yeah, just saw at the border like Bugs Bunny and set that thing
up. Yeah, I'm okay if it means getting rid of the Miami Marlins and Chad Kroger, then I think...
but he's my hero.
Come on, Marlins. Then I think it's okay. We can lose... I mean, I'll give up my 2014 hope of LeBron returning to Cleveland if we can cut Florida off. You know, send him off to Cuba.
Keep that hope alive, man. That's what I like to see. But I think what's weird about it is they started doing this, you know... Not really necessarily slowly, but they've continued to push for these teams in markets that aren't traditionally hockey towns.
It's true.
And yet, it didn't feel like it was until a couple of years ago that the interest in hockey started to spread out from the regions that you would expect them to be in.
Right. Well, and you know, you have the traditional hockey markets, New York and Chicago and Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. Places that see
Minnesota.
Yeah,
stuff like that.
It's like the towns that are really into hockey are like the ones that were the keystones of the vaudeville tours, like
right,
like towns like Poughkeepsie, New York, and Buffalo, and Cleveland.
Well, and then you have other hockey franchises that have done well, you know, out west and in the South. You have the LA Kings, who are huge. I mean, right. LA, they suffer now from having a terrible Lakers team and no football team. So, what else are they going to do?
That's true.
Except go to Dodgers Clippers, games in the summer. And
go to the beach. And, go to San Diego. Go to San Francisco.
Or just continue being fabulous. but you also have teams like Nashville, who Nashville's done very well.
The Predators.
With the Predators and Does Carolina.
Chris Hansen show up?
What?
Does Chris Hansen show up at the game?
Yeah. Listen, he's like, have a seat.
Have a seat. We need to talk about that icing call in the third period. What made you think you could just throw the puck into an empty house with a teenage girl in it?
She was only 15 years old.
Yeah. So there are some franchises that do well, and it's encouraging, though, to live. You know, Austin's one of the first cities I've ever lived in that isn't within very close range of a pro hockey team. I mean, Dallas, but fuck Dallas.
You said a pro hockey team.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but minor league hockey is awesome.
Yeah,
and I think
absolutely.
More people should go watch minor league hockey. You know, going to see the Austin Texas Stars. That's
yeah,
what they're called.
Yeah, yeah. But here's what I love about minor league hockey is all of the frustration of your career not being where you'd want it to be that you would still see in minor league baseball is given an outlet of violence.
Right. It's yeah. violent so it's like desperation.
When all that yeah. desperation and frustration boils over in a sport that, I mean, doesn't technically allow fighting, but come on,
sure.
allows fighting.
Which yeah. is why most of the great hockey movies of all time are
about
set
the
in the minor leagues.
Yeah. Yeah,
Slapshot, Goon, Mystery Alaska is sort of not even pro. Like, it's not even minor league, but... Yeah.
They're never pro in the Mighty Ducks, I just want to point
and
out.
We'll
they're
have,
also children, but whatever.
We'll have links to these movies where you can purchase them on Amazon.
You can, and, yeah. and we would encourage
you should
you
purchase
to.
All of them twice.
And you can, you should definitely purchase them via our links, because that supports the site, and we appreciate it.
And even if, like, you just go to Amazon and you happen to buy something else, just...
Yeah. No, it's
go
very helpful. Thanks, Elliot.
Man, abuse those links.
Yeah, we have to. That's really the only way we're keeping the lights on at this point.
Commercials.
But I will ask you this. What was your... I mean, obviously, you're a Blackhawks guy, but what was your favorite team that is now no longer a team? Was there a team that you supported that is fallen by the wayside.
That's a good one.
Like Hartford the Whale?
Hartford and the Whale was, that's classic.
I thought that was a sandwich.
No.
That's the BK Whaler.
Yeah, the BK Whaler
is great.
Not the Six.
You know, it's tough because I'm more of an original Six guy, so all those teams still survived.
Yeah.
The Canadians, the Maple Leafs, the Red Wings, the Blackhawks. That's another great thing is being able to just, the Chicago-Detroit hockey rivalry is right up there for me with Ohio State and Michigan
Isn't
college football.
Isn't that one of the best things about sport is that rivalry is like, I hate don't know you, but I hate the shit
stupid
out of you.
Squid-throwing derelicts from Detroit.
Why in Alabama?
Why and when do they do that? What is the occasion upon
it's
which
just
one
to celebrate
throws a squid
being
under the ice?
Dumb.
There's a special one.
It's actually, I mean, it's just, you know, we're Detroit and we suck, so here's a squid. I believe that they could also...
This is a symbol for our town.
Right.
And they can't throw Gran Torinos.
Right. This is
we
what...
We suck. Here's a squid.
This is what 7 Mile smells like something like that.
What's funny about that is I don't know how expensive squids are, but there's got to be better things they could spend their money on.
Right.
Like batteries.
Well, in hockey, you know, is a sport where you throw your hat if somebody gets a hat trick.
Yeah.
You know, and hats are not... I just bought a new Blackhawks hat this year. That shit's not cheap, man.
A hat trick is when one player scores 3 goals for anyone who's unfamiliar with the term. It's not just like, instead of hitting the puck into a goal, we're going to put a derby on the ice.
I thought it was a move during a lap dance.
The hat trick?
Also a move during the lap dance.
It's a very subtle move where you adjust yourself so you don't seem rude.
Never wear denim, people. Never wear denim.
But yeah, the Hartford Whalers was always the team. I think this is the other thing that got me into hockey as a kid, even though it wasn't something that was immediately around me all the time, was NHL 94, I think, on the Sega Genesis.
Right?
Yes! Yeah.
That game was fucking amazing and remains one of my favorite sports games to this day.
It got a call out at Mallrats.
It did, as well as it should have. And it was one that, you know, you could play. I would always play the Hartford Whalers against the San Jose Sharks because I loved the Sharks logo. I thought it was fucking badass.
That was always one of my favorites as a kid, too, yeah.
That was a very, very hot-selling starter jacket back in the 90s.
Yeah. Oh, my God, starter jacket.
I really hope they bring back starter jackets for the Charlotte
Hornets.
I had
a Jacksonville Jaguars one. It was great.
And I thought that was the first 2 years that the Jaguars were a team, and they sold most of their
starter jacket this year. I couldn't have one when I was young because I went to school in inner city New Orleans, and they were getting stolen off of people. People would just straight up take your starter jacket.
This is important to note. There was a time in our history as human beings where starter jackets were such a commodity that we were willing to inflict violence upon other people to acquire them. That is a sad point in our history.
I've always went, oh my God, I'm getting a Chicago Bulls starter jacket.
I think you should. Like I said, I want a Charlotte Hornets starter jacket now that they're going to be a team.
If you get a Charlotte Hornets starter jacket, I'm calling you Grandmama from now on.
That's awesome. I have an answer to your question.
Okay.
Though, from before about teams that don't exist anymore.
Oh, cool.
I did this with no help of the internet. but there are two that come to mind.
Okay.
One of which is from my hometown. The Cleveland Barons was the only pro hockey team that ever existed in Cleveland. I don't remember what
they
happened
got
to
robbed.
Them. They probably did just get robbed. And and now...
Two people got that joke. They're sitting right here.
And the Quebec Nordiques.
The Nordiques?
Which eventually moved to become the Colorado Avalanche.
Oh, yeah.
And they had the gayest... And I say that in the most sensible,
progressive way possible.
Progressive, non-hateful way. I mean, I love my gays. But these were the most flamboyantly...
I'm going to take the shovel out of your hand.
The most flamboyantly fabulous uniforms in the history. I have a picture that you can see. They were... bright blue, like baby blue, periwinkle blue.
God, they all look like babies who are being dressed just prior to being swaddled and put down for
bed. And because no one but the people of wherever the whatever province Quebec is in, it's the one next to Ontario. Anyway,
this is where our Canadian listeners.
This is the logo that looks like a dude bent over. Right?
It
totally does.
And because no one knows who doesn't speak French knows what a Nordique is.
I think it's French for cornhole, which would explain their logo.
It really does. The logo means nothing. It looks like a.
It looks like somebody's on a rack and things about to happen.
Right, I mean,
they would come out to the banjo theme from Deliverance.
squeal all you want.
Squeal like a squid.
It looks like a half donut playing hockey. And I'm pretty sure it was pink. So it was these bright blue, pink, and uniforms.
And it was pink before breast cancer.
I mean,
was
this so, is you know this is early '90s Tampa Bay Buccaneers uniform So
the smiling pirate.
So yeah, so the Quebec Nordiques.
It actually is a gay bar in Austin. I think
are surely one probably of them.
The Quebec Nordiques.
The Quebec Nordiques and the Cleveland Barons, who were actually pretty badass.
When did they cease to be a team, the Cleveland Barons?
I mean, this had to be in the 70s, if okay. I remember correctly. I mean, like, obviously I wasn't there, but...
you would think it'd be in the heat of the moment.
They
merged with the North Stars of Minnesota in 1978.
Moved to Dallas.
Which then moved to Dallas.
So the Minnesota has the Wild now?
The Minnesota Wild,
so
yeah.
Who did the North Star become?
The North Stars became the Dallas Stars.
So there's somebody on the Dallas Stars who might be the Fist.
The Fist of the North Stars?
Yes.
Yeah, that would be the enforcer character.
Right.
And also, you're fired.
I get fired 5 times an episode.
Pretty much. Number four. It's my favorite game. Is
Armageddon, Pacific Rim.
Get out.
But like any Cleveland team, the Cleveland Barons didn't really have a logo. It was just a B inside of the shape of the state of Ohio. You know, because we don't come up with clever names, although I'm getting to the best one of all time.
Okay.
Because, you know, like we have the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
Which depending on who you ask, is named very inappropriately after much of the population of Cleveland, or is named after the guy who started the team. I mean, it depends on if you ask my racist great-grandfather. But the best team name is the current Cleveland hockey team, the minor league team, the Lake Erie Monsters.
I like that a lot.
Because, you know, when you grew up in Cleveland, you always heard about the Lake Erie Monster. It was like the really poor Loch Ness Monster.
It goes to Safeway.
Lake Erie Monster's going to get you if you go swimming in Lake Erie. And it's like, Mom, we can't go swimming in Lake Erie because it's really friggin' dirty. So why would we care about a monster?
It's funny that rumor got started because anyone who swam in Lake Erie came out looking like a silt-covered monster.
Right.
Well, the best thing about that monster is he doesn't eat you. He just asks you about $3.50.
For about $3.50. Absolutely. So let me ask you this question. Do you remember the glowing puck experiment?
The blue highlight on the puck?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was weird. Hockey really has benefited from high definition, because back in the day when it was on 4x3 televisions...
It was hard to see the puck.
It was hard to see pretty much anything.
I can't see what the puck is going on here.
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember that. I think it was like a Fox Sports thing, wasn't it? Or ESPN? Yeah. Although I will say that while I don't miss the days of low-res hockey, I do miss Tuesday Night Hockey on ESPN with Gary Thorne and Bill Clement, because I believe that they were the Bert and Ernie or Pat Summerall and John Madden of hockey. They were the greatest hockey, and they would bring in Melrose sometimes, and that would get weird, and Darren Pang, who's still on NBC.
Was he sort of like that the mushmouth that comes on college football? I forgot his name.
Musburger?
Musburger. The guy who does the pep talks and the... So he was sort of like that?
Sort of like that. Well, but I think that Clement and Thorne were probably the most astute commentators I've ever seen. Like, they knew the game of hockey inside and out, and I think that there's very few. I think, who's that guy that does all the TNT baseball games? Joe Buck and Tim McCarver. They're pretty good.
Yeah.
But I listen, you know, watching the basketball season, and especially college basketball, you just think, Jesus Christ, these guys even play the game? Like, they don't seem to have any idea what's
going
on.
Going up a four-pointer! It's like, it's not even a thing. Like, not even on NBA Jam is that a real thing, dude. Come on. But yeah,
so I miss those guys.
I kind of wish they would bring back the glowing puck, because I like the sci-fi element of it, of making it look like, you know, the Bruins are taking on the Red Wings in Future World.
Right.
I kind of like that element of it.
Like the radiation puck?
Yes. Yeah, like if it hits you, you'll either die immediately or get superpowers.
They have the same thing in Russia, only it's actually a radiation puck. Well,
it's the monsters of Three Mile Island.
Right.
Versus Chernobyl.
Yes, Chernobyl, not Three Mile Island.
We played this game
in
Chernobyl with the blue glowing puck. It's great.
And we play players that are also
blue
and glowing.
This is why Alexander Ovechkin keeps winning MVPs.
And your mom was there.
You fuck your mother. I think that's a good segue into, yeah, we should talk about, I guess, some of our favorite hockey movies.
Oh, I got them all.
So, okay, Neil, I'm going to assume that you've probably got the ones that we don't. So, what is your sort of less typical choice for favorite hockey movie?
Certainly Mystery Alaska,
I have not seen this one.
Oh, wow, you haven't seen this one? Russell Crowe.
You'll be entertained.
It's a story about this town in Alaska that exists so far up above, you know, almost near the Arctic Circle, and all they really have is this hockey game that happens every week, and they're really great, you know, and Russell Crowe plays the sheriff of the town, and Kevin Durand, not Kevin Durant the basketball player, but Kevin Durand, the actor, from Lost. In that movie,
Robin Hood.
He plays this big dude.
He's an up and coming. He's great in everything he's done.
And so it's all about this town. And what happens is these NHL scouts discover how great this, like, these legendary skaters, and they stage a game between the town of Mystery, Alaska, and the New York Rangers, an outdoor game.
Huh.
And when the Rangers show up, the color commentator, played by Mike Myers, in his most Canadian role to date, show up. Burt Reynolds plays the coach in this. Hank Azaria plays the guy from Mystery Alaska, who's like a publicist now, and he gets the Rangers to come up to the town, and they do this whole thing. So this is based on a true story? I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Not based on a true story, guys.
The internet is saying that Cole Meany was in this?
Cole Meany plays the mayor of the town. Yeah.
I like it.
I don't know how this is never on my radar, but it's on
this
my radar.
This movie,
I'm watching it tonight.
It really does. It combines, you know, some really great early Russell Crowe stuff, some really gruff, like he's a mountain man. He's like a lumberjack kind of dude in this movie.
He's got hockey hair.
He's definitely got the hockey hair. And it's really inspiring. It's that small town rising up story to take on the world, and it's super funny and ridiculous and quite awesome.
I think it's funny, kind of using this as going back to something you said before about rivalries in hockey. I mean, the obvious movie connection between, you know, film and sports is that in films it's always about, you know, the heroes and the villains, and I think hockey is a special sports representation of that, in that they can actually brutalize each other.
Right, like, it's a lot more
actual fight. You know,
the stakes are higher. In hockey, and I think that there are movies, like, one of the things I really loved about a movie like Goon, which I'm sure we'll talk about, is the way they shoot the hockey scenes. They're so fast and so violent, because if you've never been in that environment, if you've never been on the ice while even mediocre hockey players are playing, you don't realize how fast and how hard the ice is, and how hard the boards are, and how tough that experience is. So sometimes,
well, just the act of skating. Like, I don't know if any of you out there have tried to ice.
Shit's hard, dog.
Shit's hard. Kill your fucking ankles.
Yes,
like nobody's
never done
business.
We'll probably never try,
dude. JC, we're gonna do it.
Okay.
And Whole Foods has it every year on their ceiling in Austin.
It's not just that it's difficult to do, but it's not exactly as though you have a comforting surface on which to fall if you fail. It's literally like, you're probably going to fall, and it is going to hurt. Try not to break any bones too badly.
It's like starting a really hard job where it's like, you're gonna fall on your ass a few times. You just hope you don't break anything while you do it.
Exactly, exactly.
You know what I didn't realize about Mystery Alaska until I just pulled up the IMDb pages? It was directed by Jay Roach of Meet the Parents fame.
I was actually just noticing that.
And yeah, it was written by the very famous television EP David E. Kelly.
Oh, really?
Who did Ally McBeal and a bunch of other.
Was there a dancing baby in this?
Sadly, I don't think so. But there's a lot of ice.
There is a lot of ice. JC, what's one of your favorite hockey movies?
Well, since you asked me first, I'll be the first to say Goon. just because it was my favorite movie of last year.
Wow. Oh, yeah. It's fucking incredible.
Yeah, I could. Probably the first and last time in my life that my favorite movie of the year will end up being something that I saw in March on video on demand.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I've seen it since. It's the best representation of why I liked hockey when I first started liking it. Because it's minor league hockey, and as Neil said, it talks about how brutally violent the game is and shows it really well. One of the sports memories that I'll always carry with me, I had to have been 10 or 11. Every Christmas, my family and I go to Las Vegas for Christmas, because that's what we do. And they would always let me kind of do whatever I wanted to in the city, because they were off gambling. My parents are good parents.
It must have been awesome to be a teenage boy.
Yeah, it sounds like they took me to Vegas and just let me do whatever.
Porn,
just left you on the strip.
Yeah.
Porn,
see you next week.
So one of the things I would always do is I would always go to the Thomas and Mac Center, and I would watch. Currently, the team's name is called the Wranglers. I don't remember what it was when I was 10 or 11. But I remember the stadium not selling out, and so the security would let the kids, like, go sit in the front row. And so I would sit up in the front row, and there was one instance where a guy's face got planted up against the boards, and his mouth is open. He's got, like, two teeth. His eyes are looking right into mine, and he, like, cracks a smile while this dude's hitting him in the head.
So he's like the goon. He's like, yeah. Thank you. It was really nice.
Yeah, and then he, like, skates away, and I'm just like, this is awesome.
What is this magical sport, and how do I get more of it?
Well, that was the best part of the goon, is the way that it's like, he's like, would you like to fight now? Yes.
Yes, yes. Thank you for asking. There's such a gentlemanly way about him, despite the fact that his sole purpose on the team is to beat people up. And that's actually another thing about hockey that sets it apart. There is a designation for players where you are the enforcer. Your job is to beat the shit out of that guy, so he thinks it's a bad idea to try to beat the shit out of our guy. It's what other sport is like? That's a strategy,
right?
In any other sport, that's called a major violation and suspensions. In hockey, that's a fucking strategy.
Well, that was Rodman on the Bulls when they're second team. I'm not kidding. That was his role. He was going to play dirty if you played dirty.
That was Latrell Sprewell, except he unfortunately focused it all on the bench.
and the coach.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, I mean, the thing about hockey is that's totally legal to do, as opposed to these other sports where you get, like, thrown out of the game for punching a fan. Whatever. That's bullshit.
should have been there.
Right. The fan should not have been in his seat.
That's true.
If he didn't want to get punched.
Speaking of what, we were talking about wrestling last episode. There was this video that's going around online. Of,
it was like two episodes ago.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I don't remember the wrestler, but apparently, like, this a fan got in the middle of a ring and like punched this wrestler in the balls during a match, and everybody's like, well, I guess the WWE is doing their job because we don't know if it's real or not.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a good point. But no, this is definitely real. And I think another thing about Goon is the way that they, you know, Neil mentioned that it's so fast, and the way they shoot the violence, especially,
right,
where it feels like the camera is on the guy's shoulder as he's just bam, bam, bam. And it's not. Like, the final fight has sort of that, like, Mortal Kombat element to it, but every other fight is literally just like, like, as right. fast as they
it
possibly
happens really
can.
Quickly.
Yeah. The way that final fight is framed when they both come out of the penalty box is
like
just the frame, awesome. The framing. Yeah, it's one of my favorite.
It looks like
favorite.
Health bars should show up at the top.
Yeah.
It's easily one of my favorite sports movie moments.
And it's so quotable. Stuff. Like, every good sports movie has to have a myriad good quotes. I mean, everything from, like, Caddyshack to Major League. The hallmark of a great sports movie is how quotable it is.
If they need me to bleed, I'll bleed.
I'll bleed. If it comes down to just me and just you, I will lay you the fuck out. Not to mention the fact that Liev Schreiber is doing the greatest Canadian accent I have ever heard.
And has
Barry Melrose's haircut, which is also incredible.
Rasta Boss Ray.
Well, I like that, you know, they give you such a really good hint about his character just by his facial hair. It's like, it's just that sort of that Fu Manchu, which is a little bit of gray. So it's like, look, I'm still tough, but I am getting older.
Yeah,
right.
And Sean William Scott, in my opinion, that's his greatest performance, because you have a guy whose entire lot in life, and especially his position on the team, is to fight people. But he's not in real life. His personality is not that of a bully. He's a really sweet, dim-witted, but very lovable guy.
He's right. A soup and beer guy.
But you flip that switch and you point him at somebody and. It's like, you know what it reminded me of was Unleashed with Jet Li, where it's like, when the collar's on, perfectly sweet individual, but when you point him at somebody and take the collar off, get the fuck out of the way.
No, yeah. It's like, there's a judge I worked for, and she was a nice person you ever wanted to know. You get in an argument with her, she'll take your head off.
She becomes Judge Dredd.
Yeah, it's like, I'm the law.
It's one of my favorite moments of many
law.
In Goon.
I'm the law.
When that guy's like picking on him, and he's just like, fuck it, and he just
he's like, he's ignoring it, and then the guy finally like spits beer in his face, and he's just like, boom, and just knocks him out.
Then on the other part of that, he has a sense of honor in that after a plot point happens, he takes a beating,
right?
He's like, oh yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I mean, it's hockey's always been a very honorable sport. It is, you know, you don't see a lot of the stardom, I guess, with hockey. There's not a lot of the ego. I mean, there is.
I think that comes from having players who are at the top of the game whose names you can't pronounce. I think that has something
But if you
to
think about, you know, what other sport has a great one?
That's,
you know, where everyone unequivocally, you ask somebody who's the greatest hockey player ever lived, Wayne Gretzky. Wayne Gretzky.
For 20 years, it was Dumb. Jordan, but now there's a, right. there's a debate.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's, but I there's almost no debate anymore. Yeah.
There's no debate, I think, you know? In hockey.
Like, nobody's debating, and, you know, nobody's debating seriously, oh, like, Sidney Crosby, is he better than Gretzky? No.
He's not Gretzky's better than Stills
and Nash. Gretzky's record were so ridiculously high.
Yeah.
His scoring records, his assist records, that just, if they ever get broken, it'll be completely magical. And so that, and the reverence that people have for that, you know, is amazing. So.
What do you think, Elliot? What's your favorite hockey movie?
I'm torn between two, but I'm going to just
Are they two movies in the same franchise? Maybe. By any chance?
No, they're not.
Okay, I was going to say, because I'll take the other one.
They both
did
start
any of them
him.
Get bought and made into an actual hockey
team? Actual hockey team that then inspired a cartoon series.
A very good cartoon series, thank you.
A cartoon series that existed, yes.
Mighty Ducks 2.
Okay, you're going with 2.
Love. I'm going to just do it. And you can do this along with me at home, listeners. Quack. 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 And then, like, Flying V,
yeah.
and the Triple Deke, and that last shootout.
Oh,
when you
yeah.
got, when you have Banks, like, sort of looking at his wrist because he got injured.
Right.
The yeah. dirty hit from the guy from Iceland. And he just goes, one.
It made all of us
like,
hate.
I'm getting goosebumps thinking
three,
about it.
Three, Triple D.
It made yeah. all of us hate Iceland for no
fuck
reason.
Fuck Iceland.
Like, yeah. Iceland's right. going, what the fuck did we do?
Man, but they make Iceland look so evil
they
in that
really
movie. The black
do.
Uniforms, the visors, they're just... I mean, they're so Icelandic.
They might as well have all come out and be like, I must break you. And it's like, that's not even the right movie.
Yeah, it's like a team. You're right. It's a team full of Ivan Dragos.
Yeah, it's a little miniature Ivan Dragos all the way down the line.
And then you got the Bash Brothers. You got the third Bash Brother, not really known, Kenny Wu.
Kenny Wu.
You right. got...
Bit of spoiler, but...
Oh, come on.
He hits somebody
I think the
once.
Statute of limitations on spoilers has expired
then you
on
got,
then
you
pretty
got,
much...
Mighty Ducks 2. Yeah.
Yeah, all the Mighty Ducks movies.
You got Averman. You got the Knuckle Puck guy. You got Charlie Conway,
right.
who gives up his spot. A selfless act. So
right.
so that Keenan can get on the team. Just, oh my God.
The only bearable performance from Joshua Jackson. I mean, there's a lot of great things in that movie.
And I
also,
didn't want to wait.
Guys, I think we're forgetting the biggest part of the Mighty Ducks franchise is Emilio Estevez.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. Gordon the guy Bombay. That coaches him.
Emilio Sheen.
I think there's something weird about, I think if you try to set down and charted the relationship between Major League and Major League 2 and then Mighty Ducks and Mighty Ducks 2, I think the changes that come between the first and second installments of both of those franchises are pretty similar, because the second one becomes about adding as many ridiculous characters as possible. Like, the first Mighty Ducks movie is essentially a remake of Bad News Bears, but yeah. with hockey. And then the second one is just like, let's see how many, like, wacky racer type characters yeah. we can stick on the ice.
We're gonna mm-hmm. add in the Cuban speedster.
He's really fast.
He doesn't have any
fireball.
Then we have the Texas guy.
The fucking Texas guy.
And he was really into Gi, but Sharp. But I think his name was Chart. Not Char, it was
Aberman.
No, it was Gi and
Tremaine.
Tremaine.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The one who handled the puck from Texas was into Gi. But it was like a whole little
Connie
bit of a triangle. Yeah, right. Connie and Gi.
Yeah,
he was the girl.
Yeah.
I actually like
I'm
2
a
little better than 1.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But like Major League 2, I don't like as much as Major League 1. But yeah. So those two are weird, but yeah.
Actually, I tell you, Amazon has a really good sale on Mighty Ducks. Like, I picked up the entire set for $10.
Isn't that 3 movies?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's
well, I mean, it's really, it's 2 movies and then another.
And then it's like Saved by the Bell, the college years.
To be fair.
Saved by the Horn.
The third one had some good points in that.
Saved by the Goalie. What?
Well, actually, that was a plot point, because Goldberg had to come out and play defense. And like,
right.
one of the things about 3 that I really liked is he's like
slow.
Because
he's my hero.
It gives
though.
Us hope, yeah.
But it's, I tell you, Mighty Ducks 3 has a good lesson, because, you know, too often in life you can be reacting to things. And this one said, you know what, you can't react. You have to make the first move.
Right.
Because Charlie just wanted to skate back. No, you have to hit him first.
Yeah, it's a really good lesson for kids, I think.
hey, sometimes stuff is messed up, and who are you going to call? The Bash Brothers.
The Bash Brothers, absolutely.
All right. I'm for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think those were the most informative hockey movies of my youth, which were obviously the Mighty Ducks movies. And part of that was, in the second one, the fact that the characters they added were so broadly drawn that even a sugar-fed child like me could be like, yeah, cool, why not?
Everybody he's a cowboy.
He's a cowboy.
Yeah, Julie the Cat Gaffney, so yep. They even had a woman in there.
You have the great. Asian who has to be a figure skater for some reason. Like, it's just...
Kenny Woo!
It's a study in stereotypes, but such that kids can enjoy them.
It was like that 90s Captain Planet stereotype.
Yeah, exactly.
Where it's not meant to be offensive.
Yeah.
But if you fast forward about 25 years, will be.
I still think the most offensive, though, is Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yeah.
It's like, really? The black guy has to be the Black Ranger, and the Asian chick has to be the Yellow Ranger?
My favorite Power Rangers is, and I say this as a black man, but there was a reunion of all the Power Rangers, and somebody grabbed the picture of, like, the 20 Black Rangers and captioned, "Wrong neighborhood, motherfucker." And I was like, I shouldn't be laughing at this.
I mean, I'm surprised. I'm surprised the Red Ranger wasn't a Native American. That's all I'm going to say.
That's the thing. You sort of thought that at the time because he was like, oh, he might be Native American. That's really, y'all are stretching.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to go, since we've covered all the other ones, I think I'm going to have to go with Slapshot, which is...
Who owned the Chiefs? The goalie from Slapshot might be one of my all-time favorite, just completely oblivious characters
in
the history of the world.
And of course you got Paul Newman.
Right.
In a sports movie, in a hockey movie. And you have the two brothers who, I don't know, look like something out of a Richard Linklater film. They look like they came straight out of Dazed and Confused and just strapped on some skates.
Wait, the Hanson brothers?
It's three.
The three of them.
Gotta put in the foil, coach. I could do this all night.
You should.
They're playing with... My favorite part about the Hanson brothers is not necessarily the foil part or the bad boy part. Is the when they go to the hotel room, they're like playing with toy cars.
Yes.
Because they're like, what the fuck does that mean? What is that?
How old are they? Are they some sort of mutation?
Like, at least one of them, if not all three, were going to, like, several years down the line, murder like 35 people.
And they're not even named OJ.
Like if you were going to vote in all of hockey movies, like, who's most likely to become a serial killer later, it's the Hanson brothers. And that's why people love them.
I also love the fact that the director of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid is directing a hockey movie that is so silly, and yet very much like Goon, is far more concerned with the crassness and the violence and everything that we don't want to admit is our favorite part of hockey, but is totally our favorite part of hockey. And I don't know, I just enjoy that movie on that level, and that's why I think that's why Goon drew so many comparisons to Slapshot. Wasn't just that, oh, it's another hockey movie we can like. It was specifically because it didn't focus as much on the game as it did on the personalities, or lack thereof, antisocial personalities of the players, and sort of the inherent violence of the game. And I don't know, I found that to be very entertaining myself.
I mean, who better to come in at the end than Oglethorpe? But the thing about Slapshot is there, one, it's Paul Newman being terrible. Like, he's a terrible human being.
Yeah, Reggie's absolutely.
Is like the worst. And then it ends with them all just pretty much getting naked. So
as one would expect.
Are they all going to get laid?
Well, maybe in that situation, maybe after a huge lifestyle choice.
In my Caddyshack Slapshot fanfic.
slash fic.
Rodney Dangerfield comes in the end. He's like, hey, everybody's going to get laid. And then
to combine.
So what? So let's dance!
And they figure out that, like, Judge Smales owns the Chiefs.
And then to combine it with another one, they're on double secret probation.
Yeah.
So we just keep adding and stuff. So looking ahead to next year in the NHL. I have to... Well, oh, wait, yes, Elliot, you had a question.
I have one more movie.
You have one more movie?
I do.
I have, like, seven more.
Jesus Christ.
Well, I didn't know if you were moving on. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not moving on now.
Oh, sorry.
I actually didn't... See, this is my ignorance. I didn't think there were any more hockey movies. I thought we basically covered
them all.
There's one
more. We actually did the speech from it.
There's Most Valuable Primate.
Shut the... You're fired now.
We are growing.
All right.
It took hockey.
Elliot, tell us about Miracle, and JC, if you mention primates again, I swear to God.
Miracle is just very, very, very inspirational. Just because one of the things they do so great in that movie is they put you in that time frame, better than Argo did. Because they put you in that time frame of, like, the entire opening credits is just how fucking crappy it was to be alive at that time.
The '70s?
Yeah.
The early '80s?
The late '70s.
The late '70s, like the gas crisis, the hostages in Iran, just from Vietnam, Watergate, Gerald Ford being Gerald Ford, and fuck him. So like, all of that. Oh, he can fall down for all I care.
Were you alive during this man's presidency?
I have my dad's
so I think he's already okay. Dead.
I think Ellie's been lying to us the whole time. He's actually 47 years old.
Well, I can't wait to be old. I'm going to just be bitter as all hell. It's going to be great.
In the meantime, tell us why you like Miracle, Ellie. Oh,
sorry. Well, one of the things I really like about Miracle is that I love in a movie, and one of the things I like about just life is, you know, training. I love training. I just love the idea that, you know, if you work hard enough, even if you don't have that talent, you can condition yourself to where he drilled them so much in terms of going up and down those court doing sort of a suicide.
Right. Again.
Yeah.
And as we in the sports movie fandom community know, hard work, effort, training, conditioning means
montage. We're gonna need a montage.
Well, absolutely. And what's great about Miracle is that it does capture two big things. One, how much of a geopolitical event that was and how much it really did mean, because you can ask any one of our parents essentially, do you remember that? And it's almost like, you know, like we in our generation can remember where we were on 9/11. They can remember, you know, where I was when we beat the Russians. And then they also they do a good job of selling us as an audience on how overmatched the United States team was. They were not even close. They weren't like top 10 and then they beat the number one. They were in like the bottom five in the world the years before that. So when it came time to beat the Russians, it was amazing.
Well, and I feel like it's something that the mid-2000s dream team had to learn is that, you know, it's not about the talent you have if they're not an actual team.
Sure.
If you just throw players at them, if they don't actually know how to play together, because that was one of the big points of the movie is, you know, who do you play for the Gophers? Who do you play for Chicago? Who do you play for Florida? Who do you play for Atlanta? When he ran that drill, the only way it stopped was who do you play for United States? Because it's like, if they can get you working as a team, then you can be better than some of your parts. And that's the best thing about team sports.
You can't just, you know, lazily throw all the most notable and expect great results, the Expendables franchise. Right.
And Kurt Russell was absolutely robbed of an Oscar nomination.
He was so
because
great.
It was a, you know, Disney sports movie.
Yeah.
Like Remember the Titans, and nobody takes those seriously, but man, he was so good as Herb Brooks. So good. He had the mannerisms down and everything.
Like the cadences of his speech, the walk. And one of the best parts of the movie is after they win, he looks at his wife and he's so overwhelmed by that moment.
Right, he just almost collapses.
Like, that's just, you can, even more than, like, into Mighty Ducks, people rushing the field, like, you feel his frustration just being lifted. And it just, it's cathartic for the people watching it.
So, Neil, what other hockey movies do you think are worthy of mention here?
There are a few off-the-beaten-path ones that I like. There's one from 2005 called The Rocket, The Legend of Rocket Richard. It's about Maurice Richard, and in the early days, you know, he was from Quebec, so he's French-Canadian. It's almost like the Jackie Robinson story of hockey, because it used to be like the Anglo players didn't let French people play.
Weird.
Yeah, so this is what, in the 50s, 60s? But they didn't let French people play, so Richard was one of the first French-Canadian players to play in the NHL. He played for the Montreal Canadiens.
So not so much a color barrier as a language barrier.
It was a cultural barrier. It was
so like Chariots of Fire, I guess.
Yeah, it was a class barrier. So it's a really pretty well done movie. It's a very small independent movie that I think it's on Netflix. I don't know, or you can just buy it on Amazon.
It probably support is. The show. Small you should, independent.
I know you can buy it because I have a copy of the DVD somewhere.
Do either of you guys have any other? Because I'm tempted to just see what else Neil's got in his bag here. Because so far I'm like, I don't know what these movies are.
Is anyone going to talk about Sudden Death?
Yes.
Fuck! Oh my god! How did I forget about Sudden Death? Because it's not actually about hockey.
Yeah.
It's totally about hockey.
It's about going. I like hockey. I also like Die Hard. I'm gonna just put my hands together.
But it's
here.
Also like mentioning the Love Guru.
You beat me to it.
No.
I'm looking at this one list, and I'm like, granted, I haven't seen the Love Guru, but why is that on the list?
Because there's the hockey guy.
The one who's Justin Timberlake is cheating.
Yep.
On He's like, he's the guy that the girl.
We've already talked too much about the Love Guru on this show.
What was the one about the? It had D.B. Sweeney in it, and it had shit. And I'm gonna have to look this one up because it was about the figure skater and the hockey player. It wasn't really about cutting edge. It wasn't really about hockey so much as it was about a hockey dude, and he had to become a figure skater.
Yeah.
And to me, hanging out with a lot of hockey dudes growing up, that would have been like the worst thing. To me, it sounds like the dumbest idea. But it actually
so it's like the opposite of Kenny Wu's story in Mighty Ducks 2.
Right. It's kind of it's a sweet story though. Well, I really enjoyed it.
Before we move loves it. From that though, figure skating, I want to say it just completely seriously because we're probably never going to discuss figure skating.
Oh my god!
As a person who grew up with two sisters and like watching the Winter Olympics, figure skating is actually pretty interesting to watch. it's the judging is sort of cool, and
Elliot is like the lightning rod for our hate mail. I love Elliot so much. I love to have him around.
I'm used to it.
Not that sort of hate.
You guys have a lot of racist listeners.
Do we? Joke.
I don't think that would be.
I don't know. What is the us actually to refer to?
I hope it's not that us.
Are they trying to assimilate you? Or this is getting weird, guys. I don't know.
Well, we were going to call it the Order of the Us, but then people got upset.
Or the Stonecutters.
When I made that Cleveland Browns joke earlier, that's because I'm from there, man.
I like how Neil is slowly distancing himself from this appearance on this show.
He's like backing up out of the chair.
Well, this has been fun. Oh, no, I'm gone.
You know, it's funny, though. I can't think of any. There was a sequel to Slapshot, but nobody cares.
There's two sequels to Slapshot.
You're kidding.
Oh, yeah, there was. I mean, it's like the Major League series. Yeah.
Oh, except, so one of them is like Back to the Minors?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The Junior League.
That's a movie.
League.
Like they beat that horse into dust. Yeah.
It's funny because I think really Mystery Alaska and The Rocket are the two that would come to mind as the ones that people wouldn't normally think about. Which Mystery Alaska, you need to watch that shit right now.
Yeah, I haven't seen Mystery Alaska. I haven't heard of the
it's
other film.
It's so good. Well, The Rocket, it was super indie Canadian distributor. That probably doesn't even exist anymore.
You bought tickets, and the tickets were written on maple leaves.
Pretty much.
Yeah, okay.
Well, Brian, you know, looking around your house, you probably have it and just don't know it.
Yeah, it may be in Luke's collection.
It's probably one of the... Well, no, since 05, so it's probably not the VHS.
Mystery Alaska is probably in here.
Yeah, no, I would not be surprised
I would be very disappointed if your roommate didn't have Mystery Alaska, because there are so many great beards in that movie that I feel like you're really missing an opportunity to...
And there's also facial hair.
Yeah, Neil, you guys can't see it at home, but Neil does have an incredibly lush beard himself. I mean, he looks like he could be the spokesperson for Blogman's Beard Wax, which is, of course, the sponsor of our show.
Yeah.
I
use that shit all the time.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. It's good. It keeps you looking like you're in the know about things nobody needs to know, and
yeah,
I appreciate
that. Great.
So looking ahead at next season.
Right. Blackhawks repeat.
You think?
Well, see, here's the thing about the Blackhawks and Stan Bowman, their general manager, is that they have this uncanny ability to keep their core together. So if you look at players like Jonathan Toews, Captain Sirius.
It's a terrible superhero name.
Patrick Kane, Patrick Sharp, the dual Patrick attack. Marian Hossa, Brent Seabrook, Duncan Keith. All these guys are kind of their big three, to put it in a basketball term.
Yeah.
But they're... You know, not douchebags like the three of Miami.
I would argue, but you can't argue with, the truth.
Well, I mean, the Blackhawks are the truth. They won twice.
The way and the light.
Kind of like that other team that...
We're not... I mean, we don't... I'll come back for the basketball episode if you want to... If you want to hear someone flip-flop about LeBron James...
This is great, because JC is one of the biggest LeBron fans I know, and you actually were are a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, so...
Yeah.
So that'll be fight. Fun. That'll be fun, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we actually...
Neil and I have had many debates on
this. It's the ultimate dichotomy of a Cleveland fan, because in one hand, I'm burning a LeBron jersey. On the other hand, I'm holding up a Please Come Back in 2014 poster.
It's like, fuck you, but please come back.
Right.
Man, it's like a battered wife syndrome.
It really is.
I hate you. I still love you.
Cleveland, it's basically Tony Braxton, Unbreak My Heart. Yeah.
Cleveland has a lot of abusive relationships with sports teams, the Indians.
It's like your relationship with LeBron James is like an Ike and Tina Turner situation.
It really is.
But I haven't been paying attention to a lot of the sort of postseason free agency stuff. I mean, what's been the biggest shakeup in
the NHL? The Bruins traded away a couple of their really good players. Not a lot of, it's interesting because the hockey deals seem to come right before the trade deadline, like when Jerome Iginla this year was traded from Calgary to Pittsburgh to kind of load up Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. only to lose in spectacular fashion in the conference finals. So that it's most of the deals are in season, so a lot of it is just kind of shuffling players around for cap room in the off season, and then finding pictures of where the Stanley Cup is this week with what player.
Yeah, it's sort of like the Travelocity gnome.
It really is the most fun thing about the Stanley Cup is that each player gets a day with it.
It's like the Shiva on
to
the
do
league.
With,
yes,
that's yeah, pretty cool.
They get to do with the Stanley Cup because the Cup is one of those trophies that, you know, don't they make a new Lombardi trophy every year?
As far as I know, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a new Lombardi trophy every year, and there's a new, all these other trophies.
Yeah, the crystal ball broke.
They're essentially mass produced.
They're mass produced, but the Stanley Cup is one Stanley Cup that only gets touched by one dude with white gloves until somebody wins it, and then they get to carry it around. But each member of the front office, each coach gets one day with the Stanley Cup in the off season. So there are hilarious things. Beers are drank out of the Stanley Cup. Well,
First fucking thing I would do.
Stanley Cups end up in the middle of whatever the White Sox stadium was when Patrick Sharp had it. They went to the first pitch.
Oh, I guess Ebbets is like the old school
the
White
is
Sox.
From like the 1930s.
Yeah.
I would fill it with $1 bills and go to the strip.
Yeah,
and make
so
it rain.
That's a really good question. So, okay, so let's say that we were all significantly more physically fit than we are right now, and you played for a fantastic hockey team like the Chicago Blackhawks, what would you do with the Stanley Cup?
Oh, man.
If it was your day?
Yeah, I definitely think beer would be consumed from it. I think that's a no-brainer. In fact, I would get so drunk that every decision I made was a no-brainer.
It'd be New Year's.
It would be a New Year's Evil party, like just me and the cup. I don't know. That's what I would do. I don't know about you guys.
I'm going to stick by what I would say. I would go to the bank. I'd get not even ones. I'd get fives. I would get about.
Remember, though, you're a hockey player, so yeah, you're probably
a
millionaire.
The Stanley Cup. So two things: one, you're a millionaire, and secondly, you don't have to press the girls with money because it's like, yeah, this fucking trophy for a professional sport contest.
It's the
I won that
oldest, most prestigious trophy in professional sports, right here. I got it. I won it.
I think that's worthy of at least a handy.
No. This is not New Orleans. It was like I was full of like $5 bills and just make it rain with the Stanley Cup, and I would make sure pictures were taken so that I could detract from Johnny Manziel. That's what I'm thinking.
Right.
Okay.
Because he needs a solid done to him because he's already an Aggie. I mean, come on.
Right.
Yeah. That's about the worst thing you could be.
I mean, hell, he has a sheep.
Yeah. What would you do, JC?
I would kind of do everything I not normally do, but I would do stuff like go to the amusement park and get a ticket for it and put it on the roller coaster with me and take a picture with it down the roller coaster. Or take it to Schlitterbahn, take it tubing, that sort of thing.
I think
do you know
awesome.
How much it weighs?
I can find out for you. Absolutely.
I think the alternative we're not investigating here is invite Justin Bieber back to see it and then beat him to death with it slowly.
You know,
on
that
camera.
Really did make me sad because, you know, you have to think that the PR people at the Blackhawks are, you know, their minds were in the right place. Bieber's playing a concert in Chicago. We should get him to take a picture of the Stanley Cup, but what the fuck, man?
Yeah, fuck that kid.
Yeah, that sounds like something.
And I don't say fuck that kid very often, but fuck that kid.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you're talking about a trophy that's been around since the late
1800s.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
And
yeah, have some respect.
Right, and it's
or I'll murder
it really is the reverence to the Stanley Cup. You know, people cheer no matter what arena you're in. They know when the cup's in the building, and people go, and just to touch the Stanley Cup is a huge deal. And kids in Canada, when they're growing up, this is the ultimate goal. You know, this is the bottom of the ninth, down by one, two-run home run for Canadian kids.
This is like for American kids going to get in second base.
Right. So, I mean, it's this huge thing, and it's also very polite. So
I love that Elliot's standards are so low that he thinks the greatest goal in life is just to touch boob. Hey. Like, that's it. Like,
that
winning
was
the Stanley Cup, it's like touching a boob.
That was a magical moment for a 22-year-old, let me tell you.
It weighs 34 pounds, to answer your question, JC.
If you're doing it right, they do.
It's a big...
boobs. The Stanley Cup.
It's a big-ass cup.
Yeah, you can totally take that tubing and put it on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
In fact, if you fill it with water and then you drink using the holy chalice, it will actually, you'll never age. It's incredible. I don't know if people know about that.
You can take it to the dolphin experience at SeaWorld.
Because at one point Gordy Howe probably peed in that cup.
I don't know about drinking anything out of it. Because
did R. Kelly get injured at any point?
You have ruined my dream of getting drunk drinking. But they've beer like out
like
of
this year, cup. Some of the more interesting ones. Was like Duncan Keith put his baby in there.
See, another reason why I would
now
drink out of
now
it.
My baby's in the Stanley Cup.
If you like it, then you should have put a baby in it. I think that's just good advice for life.
You should have put another ring on it.
Yes. Oh,
because there is, this is the thing about the Stanley Cup. So, they've had since 1893, they've given the cup. So every player's name is on the cup. But that's a shitload of names, and that cup's not that big.
Yeah.
So they take the rings off, and the rings get stored in the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto, and they add new rings. So, they put a ring on
they
it.
They literally put a new
they
ring
literally
on
put
Do they
new
do the Beyonce on. Hand thing?
They might. No. Okay. Have you ever seen that guy that carries around the Stanley Cup? He is the whitest, blondest, weirdest, creepiest looking dude.
I want to write a comedy, like a slapstick comedy, about that guy losing the Stanley Cup right before the finals and having to drive all over Ottawa trying to find it.
You need
it.
To cut this out of the cast because that's a great idea for a script.
All right, well, don't just pretend I didn't say that, anyone who's listening, and don't steal my idea, patent pending. But I think it's one of those things that hockey is going to continue to grow in popularity just because of the movies that continue to come out, because of how spectacular the games continue to be. And I don't know. I think with a little tweaking of the schedule, if they could find a way to make hockey fall more in a doldrums for sports, where there's not so much competition as far as viewership goes. And I think things like you were saying before about like Tuesday night hockey, they need to really start pursuing things like that.
Because yeah.
Tuesday to Thursday are usually the dead time for sports.
Right.
So I think if they did a little bit of rescheduling there, even
I'd right. And I think hockey becomes more interesting, of course, in the second half of the season.
Right.
So once it gets away from football, like after the Super Bowl, is really even as a kind of a big hockey fan, I watch the Blackhawks all the time when I can, but I don't really become super invested unless they're on a 24 game no loss streak.
Right.
Until after the Super Bowl, because I'm also a big football fan. So and this year my hate for LeBron James sort of
kept
weighed
you from
heavy on me as well.
NBA finals.
So when those NBA finals were over, it was perfectly timed because then I could watch the Stanley Cup finals. And what's funny is the day after the Blackhawks won, I flew to Detroit for a movie thing
just to rub it in,
just to rub shit in their eyes.
Oh
God, I just wanted to go over to Joe Louis Arena and take a dump right in front of the Gordie Howe statue.
I wanted to ask you, as somebody who would love to sort of start watching hockey more, mm-hmm. what would you recommend to just sort of get into it?
Like how to watch it?
Well, not how to watch it, but just is there anything I should watch first, or should I just start watching a season when it starts up?
Just there's some great NHL classic DVDs. And not like the zany Hockey Fights 14. those are great. But there's some really great stuff from the 80s and 90s. But also, I think it's just one of those things where you can start watching hockey. The more you watch it, the more you really kind of get into it. And one of the things that allows me to watch it, living in Texas where there's no local hockey on, is I have an Apple TV, which you could buy on Amazon.
Okay. Yeah, you totally could, and you should.
Through the links on this links. On this page's site.
This why sponsorship is.
Yep.
But on the Apple TV or on other streaming devices, like Roku and
I can only put so many links up. Come on, Neil.
Right. You can get the NHL Game Center, which this year was super cheap. It was $50 for the whole season because it was a half season. But even at $100 for the whole season, you can watch pretty much every game, especially living here in Texas because there's nothing blacked out.
They do that. What's that feature? The 5 minute.
They do the 5 minute thing that is so awesome, where you can watch a 5 minute version of the game.
That's great.
The next day, because hockey games can be long and there's not a lot of scoring. So, but they condense the game into 5 minutes, and you see all the goals, you see all the fights, you see all the hits. It's basically like a highlights package that you watch on your own time, and so that's really cool as well. So that's just all part of that NHL Game Center thing, which I'm a huge fan of.
Takes a long time, not a lot of scoring, otherwise known as Elliot in college.
And he is actually very accurate.
I don't think I am.
No, yes, you are.
It's okay. You're studying for the bar.
That's true. No. Law school is where I actually spent more time with women, and that just explained my GPA.
Yeah. I've said before that I'd like to represent
me. It was a different kind of
me.
Bar that was being studied.
What? You know, the joke is, lawyers are the only profession that after you pass the bar, you never pass another one up.
There you go. Well, Neil, thanks so much for being on the show and talking hockey with us.
It was my great honor.
We'll probably do another one once the actual season gets started again and just talk about,
how great the Blackhawks are doing.
Yeah, I mean, essentially it's just going to be a circle jerk for the Blackhawks, I suppose.
But... I mean, no, I have a range of topics. I can talk about how great the Blackhawks are, how great their uniforms look, how much I love my new Blackhawks hat.
How much you love the movie Blackhawks.
How shitty the Red Wings are.
You're right, a diverse topic.
How Steve Yzerman's last name is the dumbest spelled word I've ever seen in
so you hate language. Do you hate Detroit as much as I hate Alabama?
Probably. Okay. Probably more so. Because I'm, being from Ohio, you hate Michigan because it's Michigan.
Yeah,
so then on top of that, you hate a specific subset of people in Michigan who... think that their town is called Hockey Town.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
It's not even going to be
like
called a
blow
town.
Town.
It's going to start being called Barter Town.
Yes.
Right. I mean,
it stays away from being Barter Town.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised that Chicago was the one that sold off the ice. You're thinking that Detroit would just be breaking it up into pieces.
Well, Chicago did it for charity, so I think
right.
that might have been.
Detroit's going to do it to, like, so that they can pay, like, pensions.
Rejuvenate the unemployment.
Or so people have water to drink. Whatever. Yeah.
Well, Neil, can you tell people where they can find you on the interwebs?
I am all over the internet. You can just pretty much anywhere you go, you can get me. But sometimes I write things about movies on filmschoolrejects.com, a very fabulous website. And you can follow me on Twitter at Rejects.
At Rejects.
Yep. Would like to make sure that you know that I am not a member of the All-American Rejects band. And I am not...
Swing?
No, I don't swing, and I'm not a member of the hip-hop group Rejects with a Z.
Oh, wow.
I do not Cat Daddy all night long.
Wow. Speaking of which, have you seen the Kate Upton Cat Daddy dance?
That what? Sounds... Yes, I have.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm so glad this is
I wish way. I was a part of that, though.
Yes.
I like the truth in advertising going on right now. But, just so you know, I'm not a member of the All-American Rejects.
It's weird how much I get confused for that. I'm just some dude who likes movies and hockey and Top Gear.
I can say with almost no self-aggrandizing that Film School Rejects is one of the best movie sites on the internet. Very thoughtful, very insightful stuff. Stuff that you should be reading every single day. Definitely go there. Definitely check it out. Neil, thanks again. We'll definitely, once the season gets rolling, we'll do another show sort of where all the teams are, how they're doing, not just the Blackhawks, although that will probably be the main topic of conversation.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. JC, Elliot, anything you want to say before we sign off here?
Not that I can think of.
I just want to say thank you for being here. And this is not to be cheesy, but I've gotten a lot out of just listening to you, so thank you.
That is why we...
No problem.
That's why show is...
I see Neil all the time, so I should have said thank you for coming, but I do see you all the time. So.
I just met this guy. This guy is awesome.
There you go.
He's okay.
Once again, you can find us on iTunes. Go to iTunes podcast section, search for One of Us, and we are also available on Twitter at ITLcast. We are brought to you courtesy of Blogman's Beard Wax. We'll be back next week with more scores, more stats, and more reasons for your mother to be very disappointed in you.